जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंदम भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिल्या प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ी वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की हेमनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री 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 गुरुवन श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री शील प्रभुपाद नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वंदेहम श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च रूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिसिद्धान्तसरस्वतीति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैताया कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानदायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धापसिद्धान्तध्वान्तहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षात् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोधे पादाम्बुजाय ते नमः भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमिस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिय वैष्णवा सार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकम् हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते जयतां सुरदौपाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमद्राधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवो प्रेष्टालभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भी वंशीवटतटस्थिता कर्षन्वेणुस्वनिर्गोपेर्गोपिनाथाश्रयेऽस्तु नाः तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, we have started discussing this 12th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, which is Bhakti Yoga, isn't it? Very important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, because Bhakti, to understand, there is no other way except to understand what Krishna talks about, Bhakti, isn't it? So, that's why when we finished that 11th chapter, Krishna concluded that verse that saying, he mentions there that mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangha vrajidaha nurvairaha sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. That's the last verse in the 11th chapter, isn't it? So there he put an introduction to the next chapter straight away. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this all the time. The last verses in every chapter will be an introduction to the next chapter. That's the way Bhagavad Gita is structured. You can see that very clearly. In almost all the chapters, it is like that. Practically every chapter is like that. The last one or two verses in every chapter is an introduction to the next chapter. Why the next chapter was spoken is primarily because of the last verses in the previous chapter. So here also, in the 11th chapter, universal form, you will see, the last verse is mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangha varjidaha nurvaira sarva bhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, do everything mal karmam, it should be for me. Mal para, it should be surrendered unto me, that's important. Mal bhakta, become my devotee. Sangha varjidaha, keep out of the sangam, attachment to the world. Nurvaira sarvabhudeshu, be free from all ill feelings or inimical feelings towards anyone in this world. Live in this way, asamamedi pandava. That is the, then you come back to me, Krishna says to Arjuna. That is that last verse. When Krishna mentioned this, immediately Arjuna's mind went in another direction. What is bhakti then? That's how this bhakti question came up in the 12th chapter. You see? In the last verse, when Krishna mentioned about bhakti, Arjuna wanted to know what that bhakti means. Naturally, Arjuna had that curiosity to understand what does Krishna mean by bhakti, not what we mean by bhakti, what Krishna means by bhakti, which is a big difference there. So there, the reason why he asked that question, the very first question in the 12th chapter, Arjuna Vacha, you will see, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasate, the first verse, in the 12th chapter, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasate e chapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitama. Look at Arjuna's question, because you can see Arjuna's problem. Arjuna has heard Bhagavad Gita till now, 11 chapters. And from words chapter 2 onwards, right up to the 10th chapter, it's very much centered around on the impersonal concept, very much so. The Bhagavad Gita is very much like that. That is why Arjuna had that question in the 11th, in the 12th, whereas 10th and 11th chapter is on the personal aspect of Krishna. You see? That's why that question came up like that. Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade ejabi aksharam avyaktam teshamge yogavitama. Arjuna is asking Krishna that this bhakti, what you are talking to me in these last two chapters, which is the 10th and the 11th, are they the right way or the best process, और ये जहां पे अक्षरम अव्यक्तम, बिकॉज एथ चैप्टर इफ यू लुक इट इज अक्षर ब्रह्म योगम विच इज सेंटर द एथ चैप्टर तारक ब्रह्म योगम अक्षर ब्रह्म योगम ऑल इट इज कॉल्ड एज द एथ चैप्टर एंड ऑल द अदर चैप्टर्स बिफोर दैट देर इज नॉट अ लॉट ऑफ importance given to worshipping the absolute truth in the personal form as such. It's all centered around the soul, 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 nothing but soul. The second chapter is all about the soul. The third chapter is about karmam. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, fifth is the transcendental knowledge centered around the soul again. And sixth is dhyana yogam centered around the soul. So like this, and the seventh is knowledge of the absolute again centered around the soul. Like this, if you look at it carefully, you will see from the second chapter onwards, right up to the end of ninth chapter is all on the absolute truth, but not very much spoken about the personal aspect of Krishna to that. But it's only in the tenth chapter, Krishna had to talk about the vibhuti. That's where personality came up. Personality comes in the 10th chapter, where the Vibhuti Yogam was spoken. We will talk about 9th chapter later, because that is a very important chapter, and there it is a very detailed explanation required. We'll come to that later. So, 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about the personality. And in the 11th chapter, Krishna talked about the universal form, again personality. Isn't it? Personality. So, there question came up, Arjuna's question is, एवं सतत युक्ताये भक्तास्तुं परिपासते. One who approaches you to these three, to the process, सततम, always, through bhakti, approaches you. Or, एजाभि अक्षरम अव्यक्तम. अक्षरम अव्यक्तम, that is impersonal absolute. तेषां के योगवितमा, which is a better process. That was Arjuna's question. Arjuna's question. As I mentioned before, Krishna did not answer that question directly, straight away, because it would not mean anything. If you in the spiritual life, it is like that. No answer is given directly, because if you answer that question, this is better than the other. Normally, that's what answer we would expect from somebody, isn't it? Like to hear, what is the better one? Just like you see in the politician's interview, when they interview, they'll never give a direct answer, would they? They will never answer the question. They will beat around the bush. In the same way, unfortunately, in spiritual life also, it is very much like that. That's because the person who has asked the question, he is asking from a certain level. Krishna is answering from another level. So it won't make any sense, because it's not an absolute thing that you can answer like that. There is in Krishna's philosophically also, if you look, in the Bhagavadam, it mentions there, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdhyade. All three are there. Brahman is there, Paramatma is there, Bhagavan is there. So, keeping that in view, you have to understand that Arjuna also, Krishna also answered that question in the same way. That avyaktam, that ejabi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitama. Krishna says there, that this yoga vitama, that very difficult to give a general answer to any question in spiritual life, to give a general answer. That is, to the person who is asking the question, he gets the answer. It's not one answer for everybody, because it is not the answer is not for the question, it is for the questioner. If you remember that, you will see it make sense later when we come to that. It's okay. So here, Krishna mentions here that that Teshamke Yogatama, Krishna mentions that Sri Bhagavan Vaja, you will see in the second verse, Mayavesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Parayo Vedasteme Yukta Tamo Mada. That is how Krishna answered that question, isn't it? Teme Yukta Tamo Mada. That Mayavesha Mano Yemam, always absorbed in me, Krishna says. Always absorbed in me. Nitya Yukta Upasate. All that words are important. We will go through that. Mayavesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate. Shraddhaya Parayo Vedasteme Yukta Tamo Mada. Now, it's like this. From second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, ദ്വിതീയ അധ്യായ പ്രഭൃതിഷു വിഭൂതി അന്തേഷു അധ്യായേഷു പരമാത്മനോ ബ്രഹ്മണ അക്ഷരസ്യ വിധ്വസ്തം സർവവിശേഷണസ്യ ഉപാസന മുക്തം. സോ ഉപാസന മീൻസ് ദി വേർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ. ഹൗ ടു എക്സിക്യൂട്ട് യുവർ സാധന, ഹൗ ടു ഷുഡ് ബി ഡൺ, ഹൗ വാട്ട് പ്രോസസ്, ഹൗ വി ഷുഡ് ഫോളോ. ഫ്രം ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഓൺവേർഡ്സ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദ വിഭൂതീസ് ഇറ്റ് വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് പരമാത്മന ബ്രഹ്മണ അക്ഷരസ്യ വിധ്വസ്തം സർവവിശേഷണസ്യ ഉപാസന മുക്തം. സോ ബ്രഹ്മം ഉപാസന, ബ്രഹ്മ ഉപാസന, പരമാത്മ ഉപാസന, അക്ഷര ഉപാസന, all these different upasanas were spoken in from the chapter 2 to from the chapter 9 including. When it, then after that, it is after that you will see in the end of the 9th chapter, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mama veshiti tamme, that verse, very famous verse, isn't it? Atmanam matparayana. Of course, they have understood Madmanamadbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. We take it very simple. If you take a direct answer, yes, it is very simple. You become my devotee, always pay your obeisances to me in that way. But it is a lot more than that, that verse. Why it's so important in the Bhagavad Gita? We will discuss that when we discuss 9th chapter. But with that verse, Madmanamadbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru, Mama Veshas Yuktande, Atmanam Matparayana, whatever that verse has spoken, it brought the issue that how should I become your devotee? And that is where that Vibhuti Yogam was spoken. Vibhuti, Krishna's Vibhutis came about. Krishna said, I am this, I am this, I am this in everything, different things. Krishna says so many things, isn't it? So, സർവയോഗം ഐശ്വര്യം സർവജ്ഞാന ശക്തിമത് സത്വ ഉപാധേ ഈശ്വരസ്യ തവച ഉപാസനം തത്ര തത്ര ഉക്തം. സോ ഈശ്വരാസ് കൃഷ്ണാസ് ഐശ്വര്യം, ഐശ്വര്യം മീൻസ് ഓപ്പുലൻസസ്, ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണാസ് ജ്ഞാനശക്തി, ദി പവർ ഓഫ് ദ നോളജ്, പവർ ഓഫ് ദ നോളജ് ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ, ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് കെയിം ഇൻ ദ ടെൻത്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ക്ലോസ്ലി യു വിൽ സീ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ഇറ്റ് ടോക്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഓൾ ദി ഐശ്വര്യം. And then finally Krishna says, the most important aishwaryam or opulence of me is what? Ahamalpa gudagesha sarvabhudasheshtida. That is my greatest opulence, Krishna says. From there indicating to us that if you are looking for Krishna somewhere in this world, it's there you have to look. That's where he is. Inside everyone, inside the heart. Inside the heart. So, Srimad Bhagavatam in several places talks about this, Krishna's presence inside the heart. We call somebody, we refer to as Antaryami, and sometimes it is referred to as Antaryami. And sometimes Ishwara, Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. He is identified as Ishwara there. Sometimes as Antaryami, sometimes as Paramatma. In substance is one and the same. In different, all by different names. Like Absolute Truth is addressed in different names. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti Shabdyade. Similarly, Antaryami also, sometimes he is Bhagavan here. Sometimes he is Antaryami, sometimes he is Paramatma. Whichever way, sometimes it is Pratyabhijna, sometimes it is Sutralpma, sometimes it is called Nyapti. In other words, in different designations he is known, but substance is one. That's the only thing to remember. We'll be using different terms at different times, depending on the function of the Antaryami there. So here also, that's what he's saying here. That Sarva Yogam Aishwaryam Sarva Jnana Shaktimat Sattu Ubhade Ishwarasyaha. Ishwara is here, Sattu Ubhadi, Sattu Gunam as Ubhadi has taken, and Sarva Jnana Shaktimat Sarva Yoga Aishwaryam. So all those things were spoken in the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter, Krishna's Vibhudis. We'll discuss that when you come to the 10th chapter later. And then after that, saying all that, those, later on he came to the Krishna's form in this world, which is the whole creation, is Krishna's body. Whole creation is Krishna's body, isn't it? But if you say to someone, the whole creation is me, he will find it very difficult to understand. How does he relate with that? So therefore, Krishna decided to show that form to him, so that Arjuna could experience that Krishna is not different than the creation. That's how universal form was shown to Arjuna, isn't it? Arjuna saw the universal form in that way. So practically, if you look at it this way, Vishwarupadhyayetu Aishwaram Adhyam Samasta Jagadalma Rupam. That Vishwarupam or the universal form is Samasta Jagad Atma Rupam. Complete creation as Krishna present inside. Vishwarupam Todiyam Darshitam Upasanartham Evatvaya. For Upasana's purpose, for executing the Upasana. Upasana means spiritual activity. Like we can say sadhana. Sadhana is also kind of Upasana it is. Upasana is a little serious thing than sadhana. Sadhana is what we perform on a daily basis. But Upasana is sitting next to the truth and engaging in their service. Upasana. So that Upasana is important, and that's why I said here, Upasana artham eva tvaya tatcha dashayitva uktavanasi mal karma krad ityadi. Atha aha manoyori bhayopakshayoho vishishtadara bhubulsaya tuam prachami iti Arjuna vacha. So these two things keeping in mind, Arjuna brought out that question. Remember that from second chapter onwards, right to the end of the ninth chapter, what was spoken about was Paramatmanaha, Brahmanaha, Aksharasyaha, Vidyasta Sarva Visheshanasya. That all aspects of Krishna is the Paramatma, Parabrahmanam, Parabrahmaha, Aksharaha, Aksharabrahmam. All that was spoken, keeping that on one hand. And on the other hand, Vishwarupam, which is the form, universal form of Krishna, and all the other opulences, what was spoken, Arjuna put them all together and asked this question to Krishna. That is how that question came up, which is the better way to go. So in answer to that, if you look, Krishna mentions there that mayavesha mano yemam, it is more detail about this, about that, because in the 10th, 11th chapter at the end, Krishna mentions there malkarmakrit, isn't it? Malkarmakrita malparamo. In one small verse, Krishna packaged the whole Bhakti Yoga. Malkarmakrita malparama malbhakta sangavarjiraha nurvaira sarobhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. In a whole thing, Krishna put it in one package. So, evam idi adida anandara shlogena uktam artham paramesri malkarmakrit ityadina. So, the malkarmakrit onwards, that has brought this question in Arjuna's mind. Evam satatayuktaye nairandariyana bhagaval karmadho yathokte. Satatayuktaye means nairandariyana. Nairandariyana means without any interruption. Without any interruption. Satatayuktaye. Arjuna's question is, bhakta swam parivasade. One who is engaged in upasana, in spiritual activity, satatayuktaye means without any interruption, uninterruptedly. Yadhokte arthe samahida sandha pravrtyata e bhaktya, such a devotee, ananya sharanaha sandha, completely surrendered without any shelter anywhere else. That is that devotee's nature. Without any shelter anywhere else, he has completely surrendered to Krishna. Ananya sharanaha sandha tvam yadha adarshidam Vishwarupam parivasade dhyayanti. He says, is that a good thing, a devotee like that, who is completely surrendered unto you, and he has taken your complete shelter, and without any interruption, he is absorbed in his activities to please Krishna. That's one option. Then, eja anyebhi, alternatively, tekta sarveshana sanyasta sarvakarmano yatha visheshanam brahma aksharam nirasta sarva upadhitvat avyaktam akarana gocharam yad hi lokekarana gocharam tam vyaktam uchyate anjo dhata tat karmakatva idam tu aksharam tad vivaridam shishtaischa uchyaimani visheshane vishishta tu adhyecha abhi paripasade. On the other hand, here is a person who has gone through the process of ashramam, brahmachari grastham vanaprastham sannyasam, and he has come to the final stage of this sannyasam, where he is perfectly situated in knowledge, in self-realization. And yathavishya brahma aksharam nirasa sarvodhi ubhadhitvad avyaktam. He is absorbed not in the personal relationship with Krishna, but he has come to the platform of the self-realization through the brahma. Brahma upasana, akshara brahma upasana. All that is the different words used for that.
that the impersonal aspect, through the process of knowledge, in other words, he has become perfect in his spiritual life. Who is better? This is the question. Very difficult question, is it not? On the, both of them are their own way, they have the right. They have come to the platform of their self-knowledge of the soul. One person by surrender, he came to perfection. Another person by Shraddha, he came to perfection. Can you see the difference? One person through surrender to Krishna, he has come to perfection. Another person through Shraddha, he has come to perfection. So how can you say, how will you say that one is better than the other? It's a very difficult question it is. It's a very, very difficult question, isn't it? Because that is the way spiritual life is. These both options do exist. And you couldn't say that one is right and one is wrong, because that depends on the person, not on the process. Someone who is very devotional and who is very surrendered, honest way, surrendered to Krishna, and executing spiritual life in that way, doing everything for Krishna without any selfish motive, any self-interest, completely surrendered to Krishna no matter what happens in this world, completely dependent on Krishna for full protection and shelter, but that person doesn't have that capacity for absorbing in the soul. People are different in this world. Some people are like that. They can surrender very well, but they cannot engage their thoughts and mind in Krishna. They have great difficulty there. Their attitude is, I don't know anything in this world. Everything Krishna is doing it. I am just a servant. In that mood, living in this world, that is devotee. On the other hand, there are people who cannot do it. But on the other hand, they don't have any vasanas inside. In other words, their vasanas have all gone away due to cultivation of knowledge in several lifetimes before in the past. They have become so pure that the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita directly manifests in them without a lot of effort. They can realize it without an effort. So this is where that question is very deep level. If you look at it, this is a difficulty in rejecting one or the other. One person, very thoughtful, able to analyze everything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita very well, and he has come to understand that there is no other truth in this world except Krishna. And Krishna means for him the soul. The soul is Krishna. Inside, that is the Ahamalpa Gudakesha. That he has realized it, Ahamalpa Gudakesha. He has realized that, and Sarabhudashaya Sthita. And he is seeing in every living entity Krishna's presence. Krishna's presence he is seeing in every living entity. So, aham atma gudagesha sarva bhudashaya sthita aham adhyanja madhyanja bhudanam andamevaja. He has realized that. Arjuna's question is, this person who has followed this, out of these two people are two different ways they are approaching Krishna. One through surrender and surrender and surrender to Krishna, completely surrendered to Krishna, totally dependent on Krishna and Krishna's shelter, they have taken to such level that they know very well that it is only through Krishna's mercy that they will make it in spiritual life. Bhakti, in other words. They come to that stage. Is that better? Or someone who has so renounced from this world, completely detached from the world, no interest in the world, but able to accept everything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, total acceptance and absorption of that knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. Who is better? This was the question. So, it says here, so when this question, Tesha Ubhayesha Madhye Ke Yoga Vittama, who is the best of these two yogis? Ubhayesham, out of these two, Yoga Vita Ityartha, Shri Bhagavan Vaja. He says, Yedu Aksharo Vasaha Samyak Darshino Nivrte Eshanate Tavat Tishtandu Tan Padiyad Vaktavyam Tad Uparishtad Vakshyami Yetu Itare. So when Krishna started answering that question, Krishna says, Maya Avesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate. The person who is following the impersonal principle, impersonal followers, they are also called Akshara Upasakas. Akshara Upasana, Akshara Brahma, in other words. Akshara Brahma Upasana is better or this personal upasana, what the devotee bhakti yes does? That was the question. So mayavesha manoyemam nitya yukta upasade shraddhaya pariyobedaste me yukta tamomada. All this part of Bhagavad Gita, only if you very carefully listen, you will see the subtle differences between the various processes. And the first of all, before understanding Krishna's answer, you have to understand Arjuna's question well. Otherwise, Krishna's answer will look very simple. We may think that, oh, Arjuna is asking such a simple question. No, you have to also read through there Arjuna's situation. Arjuna, while hearing Bhagavad Gita, he is going through a very hard time to make up his mind what's the right thing to do, like all of us, isn't it? He is also struggling hard to make his decision what's the right thing to do. He has got a problem there as well. So that's why Arjuna is raising these questions to Krishna, and Krishna is expanding on that. Krishna doesn't have to expand in a large level because of the limitations of the time to Arjuna. He has to speak in a way that Arjuna will get the message at the end. Because at the end you will see what Krishna says to Arjuna. Yathechasi tatha kuru. I have given you all the options. Now you do what you feel is right thing. That's how he puts it to Krishna, Arjuna, isn't it? So that's all Krishna can do. Ultimately, that decision we only have to make, which way to go. So we have discussed this last time also. And I mentioned that various philosophies in this world, we talked about Charvaka philosophy also, isn't it? Charvaka's philosophy is eat well, sleep well, enjoy life. That is Charvaka's principle. But Charvaka is intelligent than us. Do you know why? Because Charvaka says, why work so hard? He says, eat well, sleep well, and live well as best as you can. But don't waste all your energy in working in this world. That is Charvaka's theory. Charvaka is a little higher than us. Because from the Vedic point of view, Charvaka is authorized. All Charvaka is saying that we don't know what happens after death. I am this body. That's all I know. So when I know I am this body, why shouldn't I enjoy this body as best as I can? And as well as Charvaka, he says there that even if you have to borrow money, borrow. And eat well. Buy a lot of ghee and cook in the ghee, everything. And eat well. And if you have eaten well, then you will have a lot of strength in your body and you can enjoy this life. Why not? That is Charvaka's theory. And don't spend all your time to earn that money, but borrow it from somebody, he says. Ghanam hutva gridham pibhed, he says. Gridham is ghee, that you can buy ghee by borrowing from, don't work for it, he says. You just get it from somehow and buy and live that life, he says. So, but why do we say we are lower than that? Because we are not even able to enjoy the life today. That's how bad the situation is, isn't it? Simply working, and at the end, to just get one sandwich in the mouth, to work so many hours in a day, and the whole system is so caught up in that, all of us, that we find it, what does it make any sense? And whole lifetime running from one end to another, and never was there time to sit down a few minutes and to be relaxed about life, isn't it? So whole this running is going on. That's why Charvaka says, at least don't do that. Charvaka is a little higher. Although Charvaka is not accepting the Vedic philosophy properly. He is not taking that. But Charvaka is a rishi who came to this conclusion. So here, so for him, for Charvaka, this world what we see is clear, is vyaktam. Vyaktam means it's manifested in front of him, isn't it? So Krishna, there he mentioned that upasana of this vyaktam. Now, there's two words here, vyaktam and avyaktam. Avyaktam is unmanifested. Ejabi aksharam avyaktam, Arjuna says, isn't it? The akshara upasana or impersonal absolute is like that. That is what that verse means. Ejabi acharam avyaktam tesham ke yogitam. Acharam, acharam is also impersonal absolute. Avyaktam is also impersonal absolute. Acharam absolute. So that's why Arjuna is asking here. Avyaktam means he doesn't know what it is, like the soul. We don't know what it is. So that's how this question is. Avyaktam, I don't know what it is, but how do I, should I perform the upasana for that? That is this question. So, so Krishna says here, Mayavesha vano yemam nitya yukta upasade. Knowing me, Krishna says, knowing me as the absolute truth, and this whole creation as my form of the body, and both these things are together. That means universal worship, form of Krishna, and the worship of Krishna in a personal personality in the temple is all same. It's all the same. So, so in other words, a particular form of worship. For example, Krishna is worshipped as Ramachandra also. Krishna is worshipped as Narasimha Murthy also. Is it not? That's all different forms of Krishna. We worship that form. So this form, worshipping of that form, all is included in that. Any deity form, whichever you worship. Suppose somebody worships Krishna as Ramachandra or Narasimha Murthy or Vamana Murthy or Varaha Murthy or Balram or Parashuram, whichever form you worship, because depending on a person's particular attachment to that form. So Krishna is mentioned here, it does not matter which form is worshipping, but Shraddhaya, Shraddha is important there. Shraddhaya parayo vedasteme yukta tamo mata. Yukta tamo mata. So, there what depends on is his Shraddha, seriousness and bhakti and the devotion. So, we talked about this before that Andaryami, his dream power or the Swapna Shakti is this world. Just like we see in our dream a world we create, isn't it? In our dream, we create a world. And in that world, we bring everything. Whatever is there, there is nobody there really, but in the dream, everybody is there, whomever we dream about. It could be from long back, many years ago, something happened in your life, or something that has happened today can be in your dream tonight. Depends on that. That we have no control over that, isn't it? On the dream state. So, similarly, Andaryami's dream is this world. This world is Andaryami's dream. Swapna Shakti, this is. Andaryami means Krishna's dream is this world, Maya. The world, the dream state, what we experience in the night is the dream of our mind. Similarly, Krishna's dream is this Maya, what is going on. That is why, because it is a dream, we are unable to give any explanation to this creation. This is the reason for that, because it is a dream state. Krishna's dream is this world. Very difficult people to accept that, is it not? But we have to accept what Krishna says. Krishna is saying to us, just like we have our dream at night, in which we have no control, and it comes and it goes, and in the morning we forget it and we go from here. We leave that behind. But only difference is, this Krishna's dream, this world, it lasts a longer time. It does last longer time. But it is a dream that you cannot forget it. That's the point Krishna is saying. And that Swapna Shakti, dream power of Krishna, is this world. But we get caught up in this dream, outside dream, and inside dream we tend to ignore it. That's the difference. So let us look at Krishna's answer to that question. He says here in the verse 3, Ye tocharam anirdesham. Avyaktam paryupasade sarvatragama chindyancha kutastam achalam dhruvam. The verse 3, isn't it? Yeah. Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasade. Because it is this both impersonal and personal thing is we define it difficult to understand both, isn't it? We don't understand personalism, we don't understand impersonalism also either. That is why all this problem. We are thinking personalism means, oh, just a body there, standing there. That, oh, in the deity you go, it's not simple like that. Personalism is not so simple as we think about it. Personalism, unless we understand the subtle aspect of that personalist worship, that is more important. Not the form is the important thing. Important thing is that a relationship with the truth, whether through impersonal path or the personal path, a relationship with the truth, that has to happen. And in the personal worship, what happens is through surrender to the truth, by surrendering to the truth, you develop a relationship with the truth. In the impersonal worship, through Shraddha, or the Shraddha, how do we define, you can say faith generally, or seriousness of the process, what we follow, you develop a relationship with the truth. Either way, that's what is happening. Krishna is saying here, so what Krishna does now, both forms, impersonal worship and personal form, both Krishna is going to discuss in this chapter, although it is all about Bhakti Yoga. You see? Because if you understand these both processes, then you will understand Bhakti very easily. It's not difficult then. Bhakti is easy to understand if you understand the two processes well. Because process is what it makes that, the whether it is impersonal or personal. It's the process that defines that. Yetu aksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasade. Krishna's words, if you look at that. Sarvatragama chindyanja kutastam achalam dhruvam. So many things Krishna mentions in that verse. So here, he says here, Alma etu aksharam anirdesham. Krishna is saying, very difficult to define this thing called Alma, soul. Very difficult to define here. Because how do you can define something only if you have either seen it or you should know how it looks like, isn't it? To say about the Alma, and that itself is the... So what they do normally is, they will say so many things and none of this is Alma. And if after removing all these things, whatever that is left behind, that is Alma. That's how they define Alma, the soul. So he mentions here, whether it is red color or white color or black color, we don't know. This Alma's color, the soul. Na shuklam, na krishnam, na rektam, na peetam, na peenam, na kubjam, na hrasvam, na dirgham. Arubam da jyoti agaragatval tadeva shishtam shiva kevaloham. That's a definition of the soul. That if you it's not white, it's not black, and it is not red, it's not yellow, and it's not na kubjam na hrasvam na dhargam, it's not short, it's not big. Arubam da jyoti agaragatvad, it has no form. Agaragatvad, by its agara means its form, it has no proper definition. Tad ego vaishishtam shiva kevaloham. So, now if you ask the question, is it a jyoti? If it's a light or illumination like that, na jyotihi. Because jyoti means light. A light also has got its own form, isn't it? Takes some form, whatever it is. It takes a form. Na jyotihi. So, none of these things, after, if you reject all of those things, if anything is left behind, that is that soul. That is the soul. So, which is the basis of everything? Which is the basis of everything? And it is perfect. And it is perfect. Like you can see the same thing. All Upanishads also in the same way. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnamudachade, Purnasyam, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Avashishade. What remains is the truth. Purnamavashishade. So that Purnatvam or perfection, because soul is difficult to explain. All Upanishads are struggling hard to explain what the soul is. Isn't it? So, that Yetu Aksharam, and another name of the soul is Aksharam. Aksharam is another name of the soul. So this Aksharam Anirdesham. Anirdesham means to define. It cannot be defined properly. Divyohi Amurta Purushayaha Sabahi Abhyandarebi Ajaha Apranohi Amanaha Shubraha Aksharan Parada Paraha Shruti statement. Vedam says like that about the soul. So many ways they try to talk about the soul. So, but you can never say what it is. It is neither the mind. Is the mind the soul? No. Is the pranan the life air the soul? No. So, when you talk about all these things, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is this, that everything you are trying to get hold of with the mind, isn't it? We can only, suppose somebody tells you the soul is like this, some form or explanation given to the soul. How you will understand that? With your mind you will try to get an idea from what has been spoken, isn't it? But this particular thing, if you try to understand with the mind, you can't get it. That is the problem with the soul. That's what Krishna is saying there. Yetu aksharam anirdesham. Anirdesham. Avyaktam paryupasade. What do we... And they are performing the upasana for that soul. They don't know anything about the soul, but they are performing upasana to the soul. That's what mentions here, that we don't get any idea about this soul. Any idea about the soul. So, so I mentioned this before also. Vararuji had 12 children. Agnihotri was the eldest one. And there was another 11 children after them. And all of them were very advanced on the spiritual life. They all had spiritual knowledge and lot of realizations as well. So every year for the Shraddha ceremony, Agnihotri was the eldest. In his house, they all used to come together. All of them used to assemble in Agnihotri's house. So Agnihotri was studying Upanishad from a teacher in the house. When one of his younger brother walked in there, when he walked in, Agnihotri was busily absorbed in hearing the Upanishads from his teacher, and this brother sat there and was trying to listen to it. He kept on listening. He could not understand anything. This happened many days. Many days this was going on. So one day, and he used to sit there and listen to all that was spoken about the truth based on the Upanishads. Upanishad Brahmam, as it is called. It was taught to him. So at the end, one day, half the way during the class, he got up and walked out from there. So Agnihotri called him and told him, asked him, why did you get up and go? He says to him that that first many days I have tried to understand what he is talking about. So I understood that it is not possible to understand, he said. Not possible to understand. But today I have understood that I have understood today. So Agnihotri asked, what have you understood? He said, I have understood that I will not understand. He said. And he saying this, he left the place. That is how, because this is not a subject for understanding. This is the first problem. We have so conditioned by our mind, if we don't get it in our control of the mind, then we say, well, leave it behind. Mind will go to sleep. That's the way mind is. Mind has got only these two functions, vikshepam and layam. Vikshepam and layam. Vikshepam means chittavritti, continuously coming, and chittavritti takes control of the mind, and mind goes on and on and on and on, morning to night, and eventually in the night it goes and dissolves. Layam happens in the sushupti state, isn't it? So vikshepam and layam, that's only two things mind knows. Mind doesn't know anything else. So if you give anything to mind, which it cannot... grasp, which it cannot grasp, or which cannot come into control or its capacity. If it cannot bring it into its capacity, because mind has its limitations. What you have to remember here is the mind has come from the soul. Mind has come from the soul. And that is why mind is finding it difficult to understand the soul. The soul is the origin. The mind has come from the soul. And the mind is trying to understand the soul, which is not possible. That is why it is said like that. So therefore, it is not meant to be understood with the mind, the soul. It's not to be understood with the mind. So because with the mind, all you can do, if anything has got a name and a form, then your mind can capture that. For example, Prabhupada's photo is there, right? Prabhupada is standing there with the sannyasa dandam, everything. Name is written there on the top, Prabhupada, and the form. This is what will carry in our mind. But that form has disappeared from this world now, isn't it? Name remains. We say that the name is name as Prabhupada, if anybody says. But then if others also take the same name, somebody else takes the same name, then it becomes a problem. Which Prabhupada, you will ask? Is it not? Prabhupada, if you say, which Prabhupada, you can ask that question also. So name and form, what you can perceive in this world, it has only a temporary existence. And that's all mind can capture. Mind's limit finished there. This cannot go more than that. If you give it a name and a form to the mind, mind will take it. Mind can take it on board. But if you say something very abstract, Prabhupada's soul, what the mind will do? What can the mind do? Isn't it? Mind cannot have no access to there. So, all mind can capture is objects in this world, in the prabhancham, in the creation. Whatever object is there. Wherever there is a name and form, it can capture it. I can give you an example. You go into the deep sleep. Can the mind capture the deep sleep? No. Because in deep sleep, mind is gone. He's gone, isn't it? So, and the deep sleep state is one of the most happy state, is it not? The deep sleep state. You see? Most happy state in this life. Where you don't have a body, you don't have a mind, you don't have the intelligence, ego, nothing. And it's completely dissolved at that time. Freedom from the body, mind, everything at that time. And you experience the greatest happiness at that time. But but mind cannot even talk about it. Cannot even talk about it. Because suppose you tell the mind, you stay awake in the deep sleep and tell me how it is in the night. What happened? If you ask the mind, your own mind, you tell the mind, tonight you keep an eye on when I go into deep sleep and come back to me and tell me in the morning what happened in the night. Mind cannot answer because he goes at that time. He also goes away. So interesting, this thing called mind, isn't it? So mind, because as soon as you go into deep sleep only comes in when he dissolves, when the mind dissolves, isn't it? So so mind cannot understand that, and therefore because it is like that, I'm saying all these things to understand the limitations of the mind. Because it is like that, mind cannot know the truth. Mind cannot know the truth. That we have to recognize. And never mind will be able to understand the absolute truth. Mind will never be able to understand the absolute truth. So we get to know many things through the mind during the day. But it will never be the truth also. It will never be the truth also. So to give an example, we talked about this also before. Take for example the time factor. Isn't it? Time normally we say past, present and the future. Past, present and the future. So, past, present and the future. That is just like in the grammar and everything, we will learn like past tense, present tense, future tense and all kinds of things they teach us in the grammar. So, but that time we take that as all absolute, isn't it? Oh, the textbook is telling us like this, so it must be correct. It's been written by some professor or somebody like that. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, you have to adjust all that a lot. Lot of old perceptions what we have about life has to change. Because from the spiritual point of view, all that is false. Only on a material life, in material life, you can put those rules. and accept it. But when you come to spiritual life, you have to reject all that. Because let's look at this way. These three timings, past, present and the future. So you will notice here that if you look practically, the mind is always thinking about the past. Always thinking about the past, or it's planning about the future. Yeah. It'll do one of these two things only. Either it will think about what has happened yesterday, what did I do yesterday, or it will think which bill I have to pay tomorrow, the other side. It's never in the present. Mind, as soon as the mind touches something, it becomes past. Have you noticed that? Anything the mind touches, it becomes past or future. Something you will think in your mind, I have to do this tomorrow, I have to do something else day after tomorrow. Something in your mind will be working like that. Or something that you have, senses have given you from the feedback, from the world, as far as the five different senses are concerned. Whatever that is fed back to you, the mind will analyze it in some form. So either way, what you have to remember here is, these subtleties of the mind is important to know, because if you do not properly analyze these things, the remaining 6-7 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita will be very difficult to understand, because it's all based on these very basic principles of the mind and the body, intelligence and things like that. So what will happen here, that what happens here is that as soon as the mind touches something, it becomes the past. So So all the mind knows is what happened in the past, or it will imagine something what's going to happen in the future. A lot of time we spend like that also, is it not? Thinking about the future, what will happen at the old age, how much pension will I get, when will I get my pension, will the government destroy, spoil that as well. All kinds of thoughts will come through. Or if you are working, if you are getting closer to pension age, that's what you will think, isn't it? Or somebody is working in the office, what he'll be thinking every moment, his mind will be absorbed in this career. What's going to happen? They'll say, 10 years from now, what should I be? 15 years from now, what should I be? Like this, you are thinking so many things in the working life. So everybody's mind is working, thinking about the future. Or if it's not thinking about the future, it is thinking about the past. It's thinking about the past. But present time, what is present, mind cannot touch that. So if you use this logic, if the absolute truth is something which you can get by mind, which you can touch by the mind, you can say that out of those three times, past, present and the future, you have to take that present time doesn't exist. Present time doesn't exist. See the logic in there. That if you say that mind is capable of understanding the truth or able to talk about the truth, if the mind is able to talk about the truth or experience the truth, then you have to take it that the absolute truth is either the past or the future, not the present. You see the logic in there? That absolute truth means who is always present. Krishna keeps repeating that again and again in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Always present, Sat, isn't it? Sat is the absolute truth. Sat is always existing. And if mind can, because mind can only make contact with the past or the future, it cannot contact with the present. It cannot make contact with the present. Because it is like that, when it comes to Sat or the truth, mind will fail. Mind cannot make any contact with the Sat. It cannot contact with the Sat. So in that case, you will have to say, there is no such thing as the present time, only the past and the future. It's only because of this game that the mind is playing with us. It's because of that. Because mind, as I mentioned before, when Krishna puts mind in the apara prakriti, isn't it? Bhumi, apam, analam, vayu, kham, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram. All these eight things, five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, Krishna says is given by the apara prakriti. The soul belongs to para prakriti, superior nature. Mind belongs to inferior nature, para prakriti. And because it is like that, so one way of putting it like this, present time, which is the present, which is finished, is the past time. Or present time, which is going to happen in the future, in later time, is called a future time. That's how you have to read it. You see, time is always present. There is no past and future. Past and future is how you look at it. Past is that what present, what is finished now. Future is that past, present, what is going to happen. That is a way to, right, better way to define the time. So, that case, what will happen? All the experience, what we have, is in the present. Because when you are experiencing something, the mind is not working. When you are experiencing something, the mind is not. Mind is always looking from the past and bringing it up and analyzing it. So, mind cannot touch that. As soon as the mind touches, it becomes past. Therefore, whatever the mind touches can never be the truth. Because if mind has to know something, it must have happened already. What is happening at the moment, mind cannot experience it, nor it can touch that. So, that is why what exists, mind cannot touch. And present time, mind cannot touch. Recorded present is the past. And imaginary or expected present is the future. When you have time, keep these things in your thoughts and see for yourself and analyze it and how you find the beauty of the mind, how it works. And you can then understand this statement that the recorded present is the past and imaginary or expected present is the future. Actually, there is only present. There is no past, there is no future. Why we say past and future? Because of this body. For the soul, there is no past, there is no future. For the body, there is past, there is future. Because we are identifying with the body, we have past time, past, present, future. For the soul, there is only present. If you remember that, it's very important. Because it is only staying in that state of present, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. You know what I'm saying? All Bhagavad Gita is spoken, situated in the platform of the present, Krishna is speaking, means platform of the soul. And Arjuna is hearing on the platform of the body, based on past, present and future. So, therefore, Arjuna's questions, Krishna's answer will not match. See the problem there? These are important things to know, otherwise all these things will simply become we will start thinking that what's so big deal, we'll say. Because it is so subtle, all these things. Rishis, the sages, they can think so deeper level about it. They have understood, Krishna is speaking, Vedavyasa Maharshi is a highly thoughtful person, isn't it? He gave us Bhagavad Gita. So you can see here, for the soul, there is no past, there is no future, only present, always in the present state. Spiritual life is always in the present state. For the mind, like the body, it has a past, it has a future, no present. So that is how that relationship is. So it says, and that is why Krishna mentioned this to Uddhava also. I don't know whether we have not come to that yet. In the 28th chapter of the 11th canto, if you look, we think of this mind big thing, isn't it? Krishna says this is the biggest liar inside sitting there. It's the biggest problem. Vajoditam tadanurdam manasodhyatam eva va. There is a statement there. If you look in the 28th chapter, verse 4, Krishna says there, Vajoditam tadanurdam manasodhyatam eva va. Krishna is saying there. In the 11th canto, 28th chapter, 28th chapter. Kim Badram, Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kim Badram Kim Abhadram Va, Dvaidasyal Vastunakiel, Vajoditam Tanamrdam, Manasa Dhyadam Evacha. Krishna saying to Uddhava, Kim Badram Kim Abhadram Va, what is good and what is bad in this world? He's asking this question to Uddhava. Uddhava, what is good and what is bad in this world? Because everything you are talking about in this world is through your senses and the mind. Vajoditam, whatever you are talking about, Vajoditam tad anurdam, it's all a lie. Manaso dhyatam evava, it is all come through your meditations and through your mind. Mind is causing this problem, you see. So you can see from there, this talk about absolute truth is at the very end of instructions to Uddhava. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Kim Badram Kim Abhadram Va, Dvaidasyal Vastunakiyat, Vajoditam Tad Anurdam Manasodhyadame Vava. Vajoditam Tad Anurdam, everything that is spoken by this mind is lie. Anurdam, Anurdam means, in Hindi there is a jute, isn't it? It's a jute, it is all, it is a total lie. So that is how much Krishna gives value to this mind. Vajoditam tananurdam manasodhyatam eva va. Whatever mind has manufactured it, it is throwing out, vomiting it out all the time. And you take that as the truth, he is asking Uddhava. You take that as the truth, he says to him. So because this is all duality, isn't it? The creation is duality, dvaidam. Kim advaidam, kim badram, kim abadram, dvaidasya vastuna kiyal. Dvaidam is this world full of dualities. Dvaidam. So in dvaidam, it is not possible, he says. Vajoditam tanamrdam manasadhyadam eva va. We'll discuss that when we come to the 20th chapter. But Krishna has mentioned this statement about the mind in the 11th canto. If you remember, that much is necessary. So as soon as you speak something, it becomes a lie. It becomes a lie. If you think something, it's a lie. If you think about something, it is a lie. If you speak something, it's a lie. Krishna is saying this. Vajoditam tanardam manasodhyatam eva. Because mind, when we say speak something, means mind cannot touch about the absolute truth. About the truth, about the soul, mind has no entry there. Mind cannot touch that. That is the reason that word, that two definitions there. Which one? Etaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paripasade. Etu aksharam anirdesham avyaktam. That aksharam avyaktam, these two things are referring to this aspect of the mind, where mind cannot touch. Mind cannot touch aksharam, mind cannot touch avyaktam. Therefore, those two words Krishna has used there in reference to the soul. With reference to the soul, this is the reason why Krishna has used aksharam and avyaktam. Two words there. Why? Mind cannot touch those two things. Unmanifested thing, how can the mind touch? Mind doesn't know anything about it. And aksharam it is, again mind cannot touch. Aksharam means pranavam or akshara brahmam, brahmam as it is referred to. So, mind is born from the soul. Mind works because of the soul. Mind dissolves in the soul. When you get up in the morning, First thing, the ego comes out. I am, I am. I woke up first. When I wake up, then the mind wake up. Simultaneously, the mind also wake up. When I go to sleep, in the deep sleep state, the mind goes first, just like this lotus flower. When the sun shines, it opens up in the morning. When the sun sets, it goes back, closes down, isn't it? Well, those who have seen the lotus flower will notice that. So, similarly, when we wake up in the morning, mind opens up. When we sleep at night, mind closes it down, closes its business, isn't it? So therefore, although it is born from the soul, and it is staying because of the soul only, because the soul is there, the mind is there, and it dissolves in the soul, it is, in spite of all that, mind is telling, I don't know anything about the soul. See the difficulty? We have the mind, and we are talking about this truth so much, but we cannot get it, what it is. And this mind, what is operating within all of us, it's functioning because of the presence of the, it was born from the soul, it's come from the soul, and it is functioning because of the presence of the soul, and eventually it gets dissolved in the soul in the night. If you take in a day, it comes out, stays for some time, and then dissolves in the night in the soul, isn't it? And still, mind is saying, I cannot talk about the soul. This is the reality. This is the reality. Just like the screen is there, the movie is going on. The movie is going on. All the actors and actresses and all the different things, war, marriage, and different scenes in the movie, everything is going on the screen. But the actors won't be able to say anything about the screen, or the different personalities who appears on the screen, they cannot talk about the, they are saying there is no screen. They appear and they go. But the screen, they are not conscious of the screen. The personalities who come on the screen, they are not conscious of the screen. Similarly, mind is there, it comes up and disappears. But just like the movie to appear, you need the screen behind, isn't it? In Shastram, the word they use is Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam. Krishna uses that word in the Bhagavad Gita at the end. Adhishtanam, Tathakarta, the five things. So, Adhishtanam is the screen for the movie. Similarly, for the mind, intelligence, ego, and senses, and body, the Adhishtanam is the soul. Adhishtanam is the soul. Without the soul, there is no body, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, there is no ego, there is no senses, there is nothing. They have no activity. But just like the actors will say, I don't know anything about the screen. I acted in that movie, this movie, that movie, they'll say. But they will never tell you about the screen. I have acted in that screen or this screen. They'll say, I've acted in this movie or that movie. Similarly, mind, body, intelligence, ego, they are all doing different things. Only when that screen behind us, the Adhishtanam, the soul, is there. Otherwise, it cannot operate. Isn't it? Otherwise, it cannot operate. So, that Adhishtanam is what we refer to as Avabhodham, awareness, consciousness, in other words. So, so, because it is like that, in spite of the fact that it is born from the soul, it is staying within the soul, and it disappears in the soul, it cannot explain the soul. Therefore, that word anirdeshyam. Yetu aksharam anirdeshyam. That word. Yetu aksharam anirdeshyam. Avyaktam paryubhasate sarvatragama chindyancha kudastam achalam dhruvam. So, each word is very important, because impersonalism, if you want to understand, impersonalism is another word, but that method of worship, if you want to understand, these understanding of these things are important. So, so using the same, etvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paribhasate, using the same word, aksharam, anirdeshyam, avyaktam paripasate. On the other hand, is that something which doesn't exist then? If it is like that, is that something which doesn't exist? Krishna says no, sarvatragam, it is everywhere. Look at the way the soul is. Soul is not, is aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam. But if you ask the question, if it is like that, is something you can't, is he not present everywhere? No, it's present everywhere. There is no place where the soul is not present. Sarvatragam, he says there. And achindyancha, achindyam means what you cannot think of. It is not, under your thought power. It cannot, you cannot bring it into your thoughts. Because mind and intelligence, they work together. Isn't it? And therefore, the mind is thinking, if I have good intelligence, and if I bring all the data, intelligence will be able to pick up from that. That's how our system works at the moment. Is it not? But it will not. That's what Krishna is saying. Sarvatragam achindyam. It cannot be thought about. So you can see now, spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization is not dependent on intelligence and mind. Completely independent of that. It happens in a peculiar plane. Completely different from the mental platform or the bodily platform. We have this nature, everything we should understand, we say. Is it not? We want to understand everything. If we don't understand, then we lose interest in that. And we leave everything and we go. That's what we do most of the time, isn't it? We read Bhagavatam, and then if we didn't understand, it doesn't make any sense, we'll say. We leave it and we're gone. That's finished, our spiritual life is over with that. So this is the difficulty. Now you see the problem? They are cracking their brains, they are reading Bhagavatam. Many people, they read, those who have got this kind of mind, I'm saying, who have a strong faith in their mind and intelligence, they find Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita very difficult to understand. Understand means, they are, Prabhupada used to say, you have to stand under, he says. Not understand, he says, you have to stand under to get it, he said. In other words, you have to surrender, that's what he meant. That there's no possibility other way. Simply making courses, seminars and big noise about it doesn't, it's not going to help very much. You just have to accept it, what Krishna is saying, that this knowledge, realization comes on a very peculiar level. On a very peculiar platform it happens. That is what Shravanam means. Hearing means that we are misunderstood. Hearing, we think, is just hearing with the ears, isn't it? If you have got two big ears, you can hear everything in this world. But that's not this hearing process. The hearing in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is a completely different thing altogether. The Shravanam. So that's what they say, first you have to learn how to hear. How to hear things. So that is all implied in that. Krishna is saying here, sarvatrama chindinja kudastam ajanam. Sarvatragam means, so wherever you go in this creation, the soul is present there. So, and that is why, if you look, one who has realized the truth, for him there is no more traveling anymore. There is no more traveling anymore. So, you will see this in the Bhagavatam. You know, when you read some of the realizations of these great souls, only you will start get a glimpse of what spiritual life means. Yeah. If you keep on discussing other things in this world, about this world, what goes on in this world, what big projects you are managing, spiritual knowledge is not going to come from that. Spiritual knowledge will come when you start reading the realizations of these great personalities in the Bhagavatam. Now, for a realized soul, there is no space and there is no time. There is no space, there is no time. Time and space is for us. Is it not? Look at this way. So, in the Bhagavatam, you know Jatabharata. He was a well-known personality in the fifth canto. Isn't it? A very great personality. So, this Jatabharata, he had three lifetimes. And in the last birth, he went back to the spiritual world. And that is when he instructed Rahugana, the king. It's a famous story in the Bhagavatam. So, Rahugana was very learned. Learned means he had a lot of knowledge of the Shastram, everything. But he was very much in the bodily concept of life. That was his biggest problem, Rahugana's problem. Deha abhimanam. So, Jadabharata is instructing Rahugana. He had to carry the palanquin in which Rahugana is the king, he was traveling. Due to some prarabdha karmam, Jadabharata has to carry that palanquin for some time, for a short period of time. That was his prarabdham, a great personality, self-realized soul. He had to carry the palanquin on his shoulder of this Rahugana, the king. Imagine that. So anything is possible in spiritual life. Just because we are self-realized doesn't mean that you're out of all the trouble. But there's a difference there in the sense that Jadabharata, because he had realized, he did not make any difference to him. So if you look at there what happened was that Rahugana complained that you're not carrying it properly, the palanquin. You're not carrying the palanquin properly. Four people are required for carrying that. Two in the front, two in the back. And the king lies down completely comfortably on the top. He is like his Mercedes. He lies there with the cover on the top. That was the mode of transport those days. When the king wants to go somewhere, very important, he will have four people. So they had three people, good ones, and the fourth one they were looking for. Suddenly they found this Jadabharata and pulled him in. Come on, give us a help. The king is calling, he said. So he had to come, no choice at all. So he joined, and all four of them were carrying this palanquin. The Rahugana was lying down comfortably in the palanquin. But when the journey started, because Jadabharata was not good like the other three, he was putting each step, looking at the ground, if he is putting his feet on any living entity. That's how conscious he was. So therefore, he was not up to the same standard as the other three. Naturally, the Rahugana was feeling the journey was not very comfortable. So he put his head out and started asking, why are you not walking properly? So the other three said that this fourth one who has joined us is not carrying it properly. That's what our problem is. So Rahugana started asking him that, do you know who I am? He said, I am the king, and you are supposed to do what you have been told. Otherwise, you know what punishment you will get. Mm-hmm. He said, so many things he threatened him. It's all there in the Bhagavadam. So Jadabharata didn't say anything. After a while, Jadabharata thought about this. Should I speak to him or not? And then he decided that he looked at Rahugana and he understood that this person has some good intentions in him. He was traveling to see Kavila Maharshi, first of all, to Kavila Maharshi's ashram, Siddhashramam. He was going to see him there. That means that he has some good desires inside. He's trying to contact someone for self-realization, number one. Number two, he has studied the Shastram well, because the way he is speaking gives the indication that he seems to have a good knowledge of the Shastram. But he has got one problem, Dehabhimanam. What's that? Dehabhimana means identification with the body. Identification with the body. So if I can get that out from him, he will be a perfect person. Rahugana will be a perfect person. And that's what happened in the story, if you read that story. So there he mentions to him that Rahugana is telling him, are you very old that you can't handle it, carry it properly? Or what is your problem? He said. Looking at you, you will look quite strong. He says, Rahugana is saying this to Jadabharata. He is saying to him, looking at you, you look very good, very strong physically. But are you too old that you can't walk along with others in the same pace? He says, Jadabharata's answer, you should read in the Bhagavadam. If you look into the fifth canto, you will see there in the 10th chapter. Brahmana Uvacham, 9th verse, in the 10th chapter, 9th verse. Tvayodidam vyaktam avipralabdham vartusamesyadradi virabharaha ganduryadisat adigamyamadhva pivedirashavna vidam pravadaha. Says, Tvayodidam vyaktam avipralabdham Bartusami Yasyadidi Vira Bharaham. He says that A Vira, addressing him, a great person, he says to him that if there is a thing called weight, and if there is a body which carries that weight, and if it happens to the soul which is carried by the body, then this could be a joke, he says. This could be a joke. The way he replies that, because for the soul, there is no journey from one place to another. It's not a matter, isn't it? Suppose I'm sitting here, if I want to go to the other end, I have to walk from here to there. But on a spiritual level, soul doesn't walk from here to there. The body walks. Soul is present here, soul is present there also. That is the difference he is making. Or he says to him, Gandhuryadisyad adigamyamadhvaha pivedi rashauna vidam pravadaha. He says, one who is situated on the platform of the soul, for him, there is no another place he has to go to because he is already present there. He is already present there. What does that mean? That's also another difficult thing, isn't it? Because he says here, if you remember, Sukadeva Goswami answered the same thing in the Bhagavadam. How did he answer? Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. When Vedavyasa Maharshi called his son, Putra, Putra, he called him back. Sukadeva Goswami walked out from there, from the house. And the the trees and the plants and the creepers, they answered the question. When they called him Putra, Putra like this, they answered, yes, yes, yes. The trees and the creepers and the plants answered Vedavyas. How did that happen? Because on a spiritual platform, as self-realization happened, is in the state of Sukadeva Goswami, the same soul is present in the trees, creepers, plants, everywhere. So they could answer on his behalf. Just to show to the father what state Sukadeva Goswami is. He's not on the bodily level. He's not completely on a spiritual level. That's why body did not answer. The all-present soul answered on his behalf. So because the soul is present everywhere, the soul doesn't have to travel anywhere. Once you have reached that state, traveling has no meaning anymore. Traveling has no meaning anymore. Today we think traveling is important from here to go somewhere else, to be present there. Why? Because in the bodily consciousness it's required. But in spiritual consciousness, traveling is not necessary. Traveling finishes there. Once self-realization happens, once you come to the platform of the soul, if you have identified and realized that truth, then there is no more traveling after that. Then wherever they want to accept the body, they can accept it and present in front of us. That is what you see when Sukadeva Goswami came to speak to Parikshit. Just at that point he accepted the body and appeared there in front of them. The nine yogis in the Ekadasha Skandam, they came in front of King Nimi in different bodies at that particular time in front of them. Bhagavatam very clearly says that Avyaha Deshta Gadaya Surasiddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Naraginnara Nagalokan. They can go to any world, they can go to any planet because they are on the spiritual body. They are not. Spiritual body means in the spiritual state, not in the material body. With this body, we can only travel here in this world, isn't it? But if we want to go to moon itself, we have to make so much changes in this body. And Mars, we still don't know yet. Moon, they say we are gone. But but you can see the problem that this body is only suitable for. Body limits you. Body puts a limitation on us. On the soul. It puts a limitation on the soul in the sense that as soon as you identify with the body, you are limited with that. So that is what happened here. Jadabharata says to Rahugana, Rahugana, you are asking me that to walk. Where should I walk? How far should... You are telling me to go from A to B. For me, there is no A, there is no B. His answer. Exactly like the way Sukadeva Goswami answered in the Bhagavatam. Remember that? in the beginning. In the same way, here Jadabrata is answering Rahugana also in the same way. There is no traveling for me, I am present everywhere. That is his answer to that. That is, just see that how self-realization changes everything. That's why he mentions there that Gandhur Yadisyad Adigamya Madhva Pivedi Rashau Navidam Pravadaha. Gandhur Yadisyad Adigamya Madhva Pivedi Rashau Navidam Pravaha. That if there is something like that, and if it applies to me, then I can take that your chastisement of me as a joke. I'll take it as a joke. But think about this, Rahugana. Where do I go to? The state of consciousness of Jadabharata was such. This is where the problem comes. We are all identifying with the body, and we are taking these instructions from the sages like Jadabharata, Sudev Goswami and all that. And it's not making any sense to us. If we come to their state, then it will make all sense, everything what they are saying. But in our present state, it is not making any sense. Then you can read a few more verses after that in the Bhagavatam. You will see the same thing he is saying there. Stavilyam karshyam vyadhayam adhayascha kshutradbhayam kaliricha jaraja nidraradar anyuraham madashucho dehena jadasyaha jadasyahime nasandim. Stavilyam karshyam vyadhayam adhayascha. You say, I am fat. Am I fat? He says. You say, I am thin. You say, I am sick. You are asking me whether I got hunger or thirst. You are asking me whether I got fear or desires or old age or sleep or attachment or anger or pride or distress. All these things, Rahugana, is only for a person who has got a body. Who has got a material body. Otherwise, all these things don't exist. Stavilyam karshyam vyadhaya adhayascha kshutradbhayam kaliricha jaracha nidraradir manyu aham mada shucho dehena jadasyahi me nasandhi. Only if you have a body, you have to worry about all this, Rahugana. I don't have that. Very straightforward answer from Jadabharata. Bharata Maharaj answers like this. When Rahugana heard all these things, he started thinking, this is not an ordinary person. Nobody will speak like this. Jumped out of his palanquin. There's more verses after that. Jumped out of his palanquin, paid his obeisances to Rahugana straight, to Jadabharata. On the spot, fell down at his feet and told him to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Because he started asking, this is not, normally a person will not answer. That shows that Rahugana was very intelligent. And Rahugana was very educated also, because as soon as he spoke, he understood the message. But due to his identification with the body, he could not recognize the greatness of the personality. Then he asked for forgiveness, and there is a long discussion in the fifth canto. We will not go into that now. So, important point here is that for a jnani, there is no journey anymore after that. He is present in everything. That is what Krishna is saying. Avyaktam Bhairyuva Sarvatragam. That word. That's what it is. Sarvatragam means this state. No journey anymore. Sarvatragam is present everywhere. Once you come to that spiritual state of realization, then there is no more journey after that. Sarvatragam. That is why that word Sarvatragam is used. Sarvatragam Achindyancha. Achindya means what which cannot be captured by the mind. Sarvatragam Achindyancha. Kodastam Achalam Dhruvam. He says. So, the Jadabharata asked this question. If I have to go from point A to point B, I need some space to go, isn't it? But there is no such thing called space, he says. All the space is within me. Difficult, isn't it, to understand this. Understanding a spiritual personality is not easy. That in the Bhagavatam, we will have so many people like this. Sudev Goswami, Jadabharata, Dattatreya Maharshi, they are all in that category. That they all realize the truth. They are asking this question that all the space is within me. Where shall I go and where should I come? And coming and going is finished with that. Coming and going is finished. There is no more coming, there is no going after that. once that realization happens. Sometimes it happens, people say that they, very some yogis in the Himalayas and all that, sometimes they exhibit some unusual yogic powers. They used to exhibit unusual yogic powers. So it's happened in one instance that a person, an American, came there and he saw these yogis. He could stay for many, many days without sleep. And many instances, he performed Ashtanga Yoga along with Jnanamargam. Both he had that very deeper realizations. You'll see people like that. They are not into exhibiting their yogic powers or anything, but it so happens sometimes you get to know them about, hear about them, see them all. Something like that happens. So he went there, saw this person, and he said to him that you have such a deeper understanding of things about the yoga side, that why don't you come to America, he said, to come to America, and there'll be the possibility of that some other people may get benefited from this instructions from you. He says to him that America is here, he said. Because if you have reached that state of realization, one who is situated on the platform of the soul, for him, America is not another place existing separately from him. It is within him. Time, space, everything is in him at that time. Because in Atma, as far as in the platform of the soul, wherever you go, that alone exists. Only soul exists. And sarvatragam, wherever you go, you are seeing the same substance. Same substance. That's why that verse is important. That verse will give you an idea of impersonal realization, what it means. Yetvaksharam anirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasade sarvatragamam achindyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam. All this is coming from that realization. From that realization. So, so that was that beginning of Krishna's answer. Because Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand, Arjuna, these are the different aspects of that. Sarvatragam achindyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam. So chittavritti, we talk about this word chittavritti. Chittavritti means the thought waves that coming through. In that state, for a jnani or a self-realized soul, what happens to him? What happens to him is the mind disappears. How does the mind disappear? It means there is no more chittavritti inside. Chittavritti means the thought waves stops, completely stopped inside. Because chittavritti cannot pop up inside his mind. Vritti means that any thoughts that comes up inside is called a vritti. It's called a vritti. Just like when the sun shines, the darkness disappears in the same way. When self-realization happens, automatically thinking process stops. You know why we think? Why we think? Because we have the mind. That's why we think. We think too much. That's a problem. Is it not? Because we think too much, and this has become our habit, it haunts us all the time. In the daytime, it no doubt, but in the night also, it comes thinking, goes on thinking, completely under the control of this thinking process. So that is why Krishna says, when realization comes, thinking stops. That's why he uses the word achindyam cha. Sarvatragam achindyam cha. Achindyam. You cannot think anymore. Thinking is finished there. And sarvatraham kodastam. Kodastam means what? Kodastam means he doesn't move. Who? The soul. Soul doesn't move anywhere. Kodam means, is another word, meaning of the kodam is, it is a, how to put it? Kodam means, is not genuine. It's false. Kodam means it's false. Because, there is falsity in the sense that, see, why it is called kodastham is, take for our own body. In this body, the body is there, The mind is there, the intelligence is there, the ego is there, the senses is there. In all these package completely, the real thing is only the soul. Yeah, real thing is only the soul. All other things have no reality. Which one? The body, mind, intelligence, ego, they have no reality. Within this unreal thing of this package, that real thing is there, which is the soul, isn't it? So, a real thing which is hiding within an unreal thing is called kodastha. That's how you understand that word. A real thing which is hiding within an unreal thing is called kodastha. Kodam is the word they used. Kodastha means that. It's difficult to accept that, isn't it? Because for us, body is real, mind is real, intelligence is real, and soul is unreal. But Shastram is telling us, soul is only reality, body is unreal, mind is unreal, intelligence is... Why is that? Because through this complete identification with the body, we have trapped into this. Actually, we are trapped here. Even the knowledge is not coming into us properly. It is fed to us in the false way, through the senses, through the mind, through the ego, like that. So therefore, kudastam means, you know, these words in the Shastram, you can't replace it with another word in any other language. The reason is that that word has been spoken by the sages. And they have selected the way say words according to their realization. So kudastam means, within this unreal thing, that real thing. The real thing that hides behind this unreal thing is called kodastham. Remember all these words because it will keep coming again and again later. So, Krishna says, Etvaksharamanir desham avyaktam paryupasadem sarvatragamam achindyam ja kodastham achalam dhruvam. Another two more words, achalam dhruvam. Krishna mentions here that, so, to us now, it appears as though the body exists, the mind exists, the intelligence exists. But, and it is doing so many things, this body, mind, intelligence and all these things. But behind all these things, without any change, always supporting this body, mind, intelligence and giving this impression to us that all these things are existing, is the kodastha. You see, we experience the body as a reality now, isn't it? From Vedantam point of view, body doesn't exist. Of course, that's a very higher understanding, higher realization. When we understand Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram and all, when you study very well, they will prove it to you, body doesn't exist. It's a false thing that this thing called body we identify with. It doesn't exist. From the Shastri point of view, body doesn't exist, mind doesn't exist, intelligence doesn't exist. But if you tell an ordinary person, tell him, call him and tell him, body doesn't exist, he is not going to accept that, you see. So same way, so, but the reality in all these things is only the soul. It is him who is giving this appearance of the body, appearance of the mind, appearance of the intelligence, everything. So the light behind everything. Achalam. Achalam means... Achalam means everything is moving. We experience as though it's moving. Isn't it? So much movement in this world. Body is moving, eyes are moving, hands are moving, legs are moving. So much movements are happening in this world. Planets are moving and all living entities are moving. Clouds are moving. So much movement is going on. Behind all these things, there is one thing which doesn't move, but whose presence all this movement is happening. How difficult, soul, is it not? It is so, that thing doesn't move, achalam it is. It doesn't have to move anywhere. He is there, achalam he is called, it doesn't move anywhere. Because he is there, everybody else is able to move. Planets are moving, we are moving, all living entities are moving, the wind is moving, the clouds are moving, stars are moving, all of these movements what we see in this world, as it's moving, is only because of his presence who doesn't move. Who doesn't move. That is what that word achalam means. It's a, that is the only way Krishna has picked those words, very important words, with reference to the soul. Yedu aksharam anirdesham avyaktam pariupasade sarvatram agamam sarvatragamam achindyam cha kudastam achalam dhruvam achalam dhruvam. So that because he is not moving, achalam dhruvam, that means he is achalam and he is dhruvam, is fixed. He's fixed. He doesn't have to move. He doesn't have to, the soul doesn't have to move. It happens, all these things in him. If you remember it like that, in him all these things are happening. That means things are happening. So, so many explanations to that. So, so Arjuna, when he asked that question, Krishna added all these things to it, and avyaktam, and Krishna also added anirdeshyam. And plus he added all this achindyam, kodastam, achalam, dhruvam. So all these things Krishna is talking about what? That's the question, isn't it? Krishna is talking about us. Yes. Krishna is talking about us. Imagine that when we are in the bodily concept of life, when we are identifying with the body, all this knowledge is covered from us. When all this knowledge is taken on board, that's what we are. We are meant to be that. We are meant to be that. So when we start seeing ourselves what we are, we will see all these things what we have spoken in us. When we start seeing ourselves what we are, all these things what Krishna has spoken here, we will see that in us. We will see that is self-realization means. Self-realization means what? Self-realization means losing complete identification with the body and total identification with the soul. So, as long as we are thinking we are this body, we won't see any of these qualities in us. Any of these qualities in us. And it will not match with us, any of them. But when we come to know who are we and what our real identity, then all these explanations what Krishna is giving for us will fit in there. Will fit in there. So, how to know about that? How to know about that? That is the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is talking about. So, after explaining these things about the nature of the soul and telling us that this is what you are, again, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, how to know that these are your symptoms and how to know about the soul? That is why that next verse is spoken. Let's read that verse. Sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayam te prapnu vandimam evam सर्वभूतहितेरताः सन्नियम्येन्द्रियग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धया ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहितेरताः सन्नियम्येन्द्रियग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयाः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति माम eva sarvabhuta hite radaha. Krishna is saying to him that the Arjuna, this impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. If you read the translation, you will see there that impersonal conception of the two verses together. Yedu etu akshara manirdesham avyaktam pariyupasade sarvatragama chindyancha kudastam ajaladruvam saniyam idrigam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnu vandimameva sarvabhuta hideyada. Read the translation. By those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. Achieve me. So, there you can see here, So, what Krishna has spoken those two words. Let's look at that word. Saniyamendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya. Te prapnu vandimam eva sarvabhuta hite radaha. So, this thing called soul, which is, Krishna calls it as kodastham, isn't it? Achalam, dhruvam. And that's how Krishna addressed about the soul. How to know about him, about his form. To know about him, the process is, Krishna is saying, sanniyam indriya gramam, indriya gramam. Indriya gramam means, indriya gramam is, we have 10 senses, isn't it? 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. Sanyamyendriya gramam. Indriya gramam means all of them together. All the 5 senses of knowledge and senses of action. If all of them collectively go inwards instead of outward, if they close it down everything, if indriya gramam goes inwards, that means eyes do not want to see anything in this world, nose doesn't want to smell anything in this world, taste doesn't want to taste anything. In other words, total withdrawal from the world of senses. Senses go inward looking. So, and without any interest in this world, uninterruptedly, when it goes inward looking, Krishna is saying here that it is possible, it will happen. Sanniyamendriyamam sarvatra samabuddhaya. Then suppose the senses are in the world, it goes into the world, isn't it? What happens? The eyes are seeing some form, the ears are hearing some sound, the nose is smelling some smell, the tongue is tasting some, or tongue speaks, or and the skin is touching something. So, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, sound, smell, touch, hear and see, 5 different senses of the senses of knowledge. Added to that, we have 5 senses of action in this body, is it not? Word, hands, legs, then genitals and rectum, and vaka, pani, padam. Yeah, so total 5. So 5 plus 5, 10. All these are busy with this world, busy with the world. When they have stopped their complete activities in this world, what will happen is, it becomes andarmukham. That means, the mind has no interest in the world. When the senses are busy in the world, mind will be busy in the world as well. But once the senses, indriyagramam, Krishna says, san niyamindriyagram, saniyamam, niyama means that control on that indriyam has happened. What will happen is, sarvatra samabuddhaya. At that time, in this world, you do not think one difference from one to another. Samabuddhi. Samabuddhi means equal vision everywhere will happen. Te prapnuvandi maam eva. So, actually, Krishna has that andarmukhatam. That's what it is called, andarmukhatam. Andarmukhatam means inward looking nature. Inward looking nature develops. If you are not seeing the world, you have to see the soul. There is no other way. When I say seeing, means not seeing with the eyes. Yeah. Seeing the world, what I mean is that if you are not experiencing the world, today we are experiencing the world, isn't it? Through the senses. In a very subtle level, we are experiencing the world. We are seeing, we are hearing, we are smelling, we are touching, we are tasting. Senses of knowledge is working like that. And 5 senses of action is also working. Walking, doing things with the hands, legs, all those things. So, jnanindriyam or senses of knowledge, karmendriyam, senses of action. They are both operating. If they are not operating anymore, completely stopped, sanniyamendriyagramam, then what will happen is, you got to enter into the world of the soul. It has to. That's what yogis are trying to do. Practically, they control the senses to such extent that they have no involvement in the world anymore. This is why they develop this inward-looking nature. Jnani develops in a different way. He, out of his renunciation of the world, he moves away from the world. Moves away from the world. A devotee gives everything to Krishna and moves away from the world. All of us have to do the same thing. Whether it's a jnani or a bhakta or a yogi, we all have to do the same thing. But in one way or the other, one style or the other, it has to be done. A jnani gives up by giving up everything. A devotee hands over everything to Krishna. It's all yours. It's all yours. All the time. You have to keep saying to yourself that it's all Krishna's. It's all Krishna's. If you keep saying that, then one day you won't feel any connection with this world. In that case, what will happen? Sarvatra samabuddhaya. Then you will know that in this world there is no difference from one to another. Te prapnuvandima meva sarvabhuta hiteratha. Krishna is saying here, and that is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse, that antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam means inward looking nature. Without any vichiti. Vichiti means without any interruption. If you are not seeing this world anymore through the senses, you will able to experience the soul inside uninterruptedly. Uninterruptedly, you will be able to experience the soul inside. That's what Krishna is saying there. In order to say that, Krishna is giving us an introduction here. Otherwise, you would have stopped here itself. Because in order to make it clear to Arjuna, all senses has to go inward looking. Because it is through the senses that the mind goes to the world. Isn't it? It is through the senses that the mind goes to the world. How? Through the eye, mind goes to see the form. Through the ears, it goes to enjoy the sound. And similarly, through the nose, it goes to enjoy the smell. Through the tongue, it goes to enjoy the taste. And through the skin, it goes out to enjoy the touch. So, what is happening is, when the mind goes through these different senses to the world outside, what is that actually going out? It is what is known as the pranan. Pranan is the thing. Our pranan or energy in the body is lost in that process. Actually, pranan and mind is not different. From the yogam, yogi also will tell you this. It's a very interesting how jnanam and ashtanga yogam work together. They have a lot in common. So, what is happening is, if you engage the sense, that's why we say, don't engage in sense gratification. Do very minimum what's necessary so that they don't give trouble. To that extent, you can engage the senses. Beyond than that, if you engage the senses in sense gratification, all your energy inside the pranan will go through that mind. Mind is pranan. Pranan and the mind and the energy is non-different. You say, pranan is a subtle form of the mind. Mind is a subtle form of the food, what we eat. The food that we goes in, it turns into mind, isn't it? It turns into mind. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see later on, in the 16th, 17th chapter, somewhere it mentions, that the food what we eat turns into mind. And the mind, more subtle form is the pranan. From the food, the mind has come. And from the mind, pranan has come. In other words, in a subtle form, more subtle form is the pranan, more gross form is the mind, grosser than the mind is the food what we eat. This is all there in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll talk later. So, pranan and the mind is one and the same. Pranan means the life air. The life air. You know in that there's a life air in the body, isn't it? That five kinds of life air. Pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan. Five different kinds of life air is in this body. And what do? They do different functions, isn't it? Pranan is the one what we are breathing. Apanan is the one that allows us to discharge our urine, stool, everything from the body. It requires the energy behind it. That is apanan. Samanan, everything balances inside. Udanan, vyanan. Vyanan is spread all over the body. Anyway, there's five different kinds of air inside this body. which is called Panchapranan. Added to that, there is Pancha Upapranan also, associates of this main pranan. So all this pranan is the force that is keeping this body going. So this pranan has come from the food. So as much as pranan is leaving this body, what will happen is we are going far away from the source where it is coming. For example, when we eat the food, we say the mind is formed. Pranan is formed in there. But only in the presence of the soul this will happen. Yeah? Because the soul is inside, soul converts this food what you have eaten into the pranan and to the mind. Mind for thinking, pranan for action. To do something you need both jnana shakti, kriya shakti. It is called jnana shakti and kriya shakti. Jnana shakti for doing knowledge, to do what you have to do. Kriya shakti for action. So pranan is required for kriya, for action. And mind is required for jnanam, the knowledge, for analyzing things and whatever you want to do. So body is such a subtle thing. Very difficult to understand this body. That's why after so many years of experience, so research, and the scientists are still not got anywhere near this body to understand it properly. You can see that, isn't it? They are always puzzled with this body because it is a complicated construction, this body. How it works in the association of the soul and all these unknown elements operating within there. Pranan, manasa, mind, this comes from the food. And whatever food we eat, that is why food is given so much importance in spiritual life. You may wonder, what does it matter what I eat? You know, is it so much to worry about? But the reason is this. If that food is properly eaten and it is with the right understanding and properly prepared, cooked and procured and eaten properly, then it can do a lot of good as well as pranam is concerned, as well as the spiritual life is concerned as well. So when we keep on spending this energy, pranam, through the mind and to the world outside, we are moving far away from the source, which is the soul inside, source. So what does the yogis do? They shut all the windows, all the senses, and turn inwards. In the Kathopanishad, there is that famous verse, isn't it? Paranchigani, that verse is famous. We spoke about that before. What does that say? Krishna is what, that's Upanishad is asking this question, that he has put these senses in us and all the senses are looking outward. And he goes inside and sits inside and tells us, now you look inwards. All the senses are looking outward. None of our senses look inward, isn't it? Eyes are looking in the world, what is there nice to see. The food tank is looking for what's the prasadam, nice to eat. Similarly, all senses, if you look, they are all outward looking. They want to go outwardly, looking for something outside to enjoy. And he goes and sits inside, Krishna goes and sits inside and telling us, now you look at me inward. Is there anything worse than that? Upanishad is saying this. Paranjikani, there's a verse in the Kathopanishad. So, such a person who has understood this and who has turned all his attention inwards, Krishna says he is dhira. You remember that word, dhira? Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara prapti dhirastatrana mukhyadi. That word dhira refers to that person who is closed all his senses and turned his attention completely towards the soul. He is dhira. He is the one who is dhira. Not a person who is physically gone and fought with someone and won the wrestling or shooting or whatever. That is not the dhiratam here. Dhirata means here one who has completely controlled his senses, mind, everything, shut it all and turned looking inwards towards the soul. Or in other words, who is spiritually progressing, spiritual advancement, who is making, who is realizing the truth, who is after self-realization, he is Dhira. Krishna calls him as Dhira. So Dhira means, Dhi means, you can see the word itself, Dhi means intelligence. And one who is protecting his knowledge of the soul, he is Dhira. So he turns all his senses inwards and he stops his mind, which goes through the senses to the world outside, and turns the attention all towards the soul, the source, from where everything has come, and realize the soul. Avrta chakshuhu amrtattvam icchan. In the Upanishad it says, Avrta chakshuhu amrtattvam icchan. Amrtattvam means self-realization. Amrtattvam, immortality, in other words. One who wants freedom from the cycle of birth and death, for him what is called as amrtattvam. Amrtattvam means immortality. Doesn't want to die anymore, doesn't want to take birth anymore, such a person. You must remember, this birth and death is for the body, not for the soul. So people misunderstand when we say that there is no more death. What we mean to say is that death is for the body. This body will be the last body to die. After that, there is no birth again, so there will be no death anymore. That's the way it works. Not that in this body, I'll remain like this forever. That's not possible. Even Krishna wants it, it's not going to happen. That you have to leave this body. This is under Prakriti. This body, we have got it. Because when we got this body, we were not in the self-realized state. That's why. If you are in the self-realized state, this body would not go. But that won't happen. Realization came later, isn't it? Realization came later. So, the body has to go because this body was given to us before self-realization happened, so it has to go. But after this, and no more in future, another material body. That is what it means. That is how you have to understand that. Otherwise, people think generally that, oh, I've surrendered to Krishna, now I have to die. What does it mean then? No, that's not how it works. The way it works is like this. Avarta chakshuhu amrtattvam icchan. That this body what you have got, it has to go because it's already come. Prarabdham has already taken its form, in other words. So therefore, it has to go. But after this life, another birth won't happen. And because there won't be any other birth, there won't be another death either. That is what is guaranteed. That's what Krishna is guaranteeing. When he says that no more repetition of birth and death means that. That this body, you cannot extend its life. It will go. It has to go one day and it will go. That cannot be stopped. Nobody can stop that. But after that, another acceptance of another material body won't happen, which means there won't be another death either. So, avrta chakshuhu amrtattvam icchan. One who has got amrtattvam or immortality, he has to follow this. That he has to understand this, that this turning the senses inwards. So, in order to escape from the death. So, so Krishna is saying here, those senses which are going outward like this, in order to bring them inward looking, sanniyamendriya gramam. That is what that word means. Sanniyamendriya gramam sarvatra samabodhaya te prapnuvandi mamevam sarvabhudahite rataha. So, Krishna says here, how does the indriyam, senses, will become samyamam? Samyamam means that control. How will that happen? Sarvatra samabuddhaya. So, the nature of the senses is like this. If you find any speciality anywhere, any special thing, due to gunadhyasam, in the Shastram the word used is gunadhyasam. Gunadhyasam means that, you know, these three modes of material nature, they are called the gunam. This gunam works through us in our mind, isn't it? That is called adhyasam. Adhyasam means the three modes of material nature is present inside our mind. So, gunadhyasam, if it is there, the mind will go. It has to go. In other words, when we say speciality, for example, if you look at this world, there are so many objects, isn't it? Some of them you will say they are nice. Some of them you say they're not so nice. This is called gunadhyasam. Yeah. For example, suppose somebody gives you a brand new BMW and says, you can have it. He says, it's very nice. If you have, that thought has come to you, which means you have gunadhyasam inside. That means you are not able to see that all this is matter only. BMW is matter, and Skoda is also matter, and Micra is also matter. Everything is matter only. But something that has made us think something is better than the other. This is called gunadhyasam. Due to gunam inside, we have a adhyasam also. Adhyasam means to consider something is better than the other. Always comparing things and saying one thing is better than the other. This is our nature in everything. From the material level, everything is matter only. Is it not? Everything is matter. When indriyam senses have gone in, what will happen is, sani yamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya. Whenever you see matter, whether it is gold or whether it is earth, you will still be able to say that it is only matter. That is called samabuddhaya. Krishna is saying that when we start realizing the soul, when the attention goes away from the world, the first reaction of that will be sarvatra samabuddhaya. In everything in the matter, you will not see anymore this gunadhyasam. Gunam won't play any role there. Today, we are accepting something is better, good, and something is bad, isn't it? We accept certain things, so this is very nice, this I like, and something else I don't like. This is called gunadhyasam. It is due to gunam you are making this classification. Good and bad, everything. Gold is good and iron is bad, or silver is better. Something like that. You make some kind of discrimination between matter, isn't it? Discrimination between the matter. This is called gunadhyasam. Gunadhyasam goes sarvatra samabuddhaya. Krishna is saying there. Sarvatra samabuddhaya. So, when it comes to that, if he is in that state of consciousness, even if he remains with his eyes open, it won't affect him. Yeah? If that gunadhyasam has gone from inside, then even if his eyes are open, whatever happens in this creation, it will not have any impact on him. Sarvatra samabuddhaya, Krishna is saying. That samabuddhi state, that is what it is. So, normally, suppose there is some speciality anywhere, in anything, something special if you find, immediately your attention will go there. Is it not? Suppose you saw something, somebody is driving a very beautiful car, your attention will go into it. So many cars are going on the street, you may not look at it, but someone come with a very posh car, say a Porsche, driving the latest model, very expensive car, somebody's driving, you'll naturally, attention will turn to that. Oh, that's a nice one. You may see. Something like that. Why? Because you saw some speciality there, isn't it? Speciality there. So, it is like that in everything. Our senses are concerned. So, wherever you find, you call it as beauty or whatever you like it, you can call it. But if you see beauty, sometimes you go, attention goes into that direction. So, that means samabuddhi is not there. That's what it means. So, when this gunadhyasam has gone, samabuddhi comes in a person and our attention will go there. Suppose you can see this all the time when somebody is dressed very well, in full suit and everything looks very impressive, well, you know, with the best clothes, very expensive suit he is wearing from the Harrods or something like that. You look at him and, oh, he's very well dressed. Say, even when devotees say this sometimes, oh, you're wearing a very nice dhoti today, or where did you manage that from? Somebody gave you a donation or what? Something like that. You'll make a very, because gunadhyasam has not left. Whether you wear expensive dhoti or a cheap dhoti, it's a dhoti only at the end. It's the same thread and it's the same in appearance, it is different, isn't it? That's all. But something in the mind, gunadhyasam has come. Because of that, you are discriminating there. And this is common in everyone, isn't it? Men, women, everywhere. Women will say, oh, what a nice sari. Or they'll talk about the jewelry that they're wearing. These kind of things they will talk. Men will talk about other things. That's all. But guna dhyasam in everyone. In man, woman, everyone has got this gunam adhyasam. So as long as guna dhyasam is there, Krishna is saying samabuddhi is not possible. So sarvatra samabuddhayam. So, our vision, attention will go there into it first. Krishna says here, wherever indriyam, senses go, you can take it that there is ragam dvesham in there. Same way the other side also. Suppose you don't like somebody. Some people whom you don't like, they are dressed so bad or they have got such bad habits or they got some bad nature in them. When you see them, an aversion comes inside. Is it not? Suppose you know somebody who is very angry and fiery all the time, fighting and quarreling on nature. You avoid his association or company. That's everywhere, in the office or in the temple, it's the same thing. It's not a difference at all. But because gunadhyasam is always there, that gunadhyasam is telling us that don't go closer to him. He's trouble. He's going to cross trouble, so keep away from him. We'll do like that. So, there you can see, whenever it happens, it is an indication that there is ragadvesham inside. Attachment and aversion is there. These are all very subtle level you have to understand, because ragadvesham, people ask this question, how do I get rid of my ragadvesham inside? There is no answer to that question. Because ragadvesham, you have to keep looking at yourself and see where the attachment is coming, where the aversion is happening. And Krishna gives the one simple solution, is that you pay obeisances to everybody, whomever you see, and see that it is also Krishna inside. In that way, there won't be any ragadvesham in another person. That is the easiest process Krishna has given us. Pay obeisances to everybody, even to a dog, cat, and donkey, whatever you see, you pay your obeisance. People will say you've gone crazy, but doesn't matter, Krishna says. But that is how everybody has done like that. This is the things what Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita has got to teach us. Bhagavatam is going to not teach us how to make money. It won't tell us that. It will only tell us how to escape from this miserable state what we have got through this body. So, similarly, wherever there is ragam or wherever there is dvesham, attachment or aversion, immediately the mind will go there. When it wants to go there, it wants to hear the nice sound, nice form it wants to see, and nice thing it wants to smell, nice food it wants to taste, and nice things it wants to touch. That so, in order for that to stop, Krishna is saying, sarvatra samabuddhaya. That samabuddhi has to develop. And Krishna says, Lelia, you will see, samatvam yogam uchyate. That samatvam is yoga state. In yogam, that is what happens. So, we'll continue after 15 minutes. Sanyam mendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayam te prapnu vandimam eva sarvabhudahide radaham. Krishna is saying that sanyam mendriya gramam, the indriya gramam, all the senses, that they have to stop doing these activities outside sanyamam. Sanyam means complete that. Control on that. Sarvatra samabuddhaya. Samatvam yogam uchyade. Krishna says yoga means samatvam. Samatvam inside. Samatvam inside. Samatvam means that equality. Sarvatra samabuddhaya. How did that happen? Sarvatra samabuddhaya. How did that samatvam happen? That when that what we said that before also, when that andharmukhatvam happens, I don't know how to put that in the English properly. Andharmukhatva means that inward looking begins. Inward looking. That means, inward looking means Atmavijaram, isn't it? Analysis of the soul. The discussion about the soul. Inside, constantly analyzing about the soul. Constantly, Atmavijaram, Atmavidya, Atmatattvam, these are all various words used in that. But basically what it means is, how to absorb, that technique of absorbing in the soul. Absorbing the soul. So, for that, the universal form will help a lot. Will help a lot. Visharupa Darshanam. That's why Krishna has given that finally, the universal form was shown to Arjuna to take his attention inwards. That's what happened to Arjuna, isn't it? Remember that when he saw that universal form, Arjuna got frightened. A real fear developed inside him, and from that fear he started thinking, who is this person standing here like this in front of me? And that was Krishna, who is the very person who is inside me as Antaryami. He can started feeling that relationship between Krishna standing outside and Antaryami inside. That relationship came up inside him. So in other words, for universal form can help to develop this analysis of the soul inside. And for analysis all the for analysis of the soul, universal form can help. Universal form can help for the analysis of the soul. And for the soul, the universal form, you can see with the help of the analysis of the soul. It mutually, they complement each other. In other words, they are together. They are not separate. Universal form standing outside and Atmavidya inside, the analysis of the soul, they are not separate. They are together. They are always together. Normally, when we read Bhagavad Gita, we will think, I am standing here. Krishna must have shown something amazing thing to Arjuna. And without knowing what is the purpose behind showing all that thing to Arjuna, isn't it? We'll just read like that. Translation, purport, everything we'll read. And we'll come to some unusual conclusion within us. And we may or may not understand. We may or most probably won't understand why it was shown. And we'll take it, oh, it must be like that. What can I do? I wasn't there, so I didn't see anything. Or some unusual, some strange conclusion we'll come to. All this has some reason behind it. Didn't just Krishna showed universal, look at Arjuna, look at me now. What do you think? That was not the idea behind it. Idea was that somehow Arjuna's attention to go from the world to go inward towards the soul. Who am I? That question came very strongly in Arjuna at that point. Arjuna started seeing that this Krishna, whom I thought as my friend and well-wisher and my charioteer and my representative to negotiate with the Kauravas and all that, is not the ordinary, that form what I see here. It is something more to it than that. This understanding must come in us after studying this universal form chapter. It is only to help to stimulate that, develop that knowledge of the soul inside. So, mind will go in so many different directions, isn't it? But if it does not have to go in so many different directions, the only way it can happen is if the mind knows that everything is made of one material. Made of one material. For example, just to give an example, that with the gold you make the chain for the neck and for the bangles and the anklets or the belt or so many things, or the eardrops or the ring. So many things you can make with the gold. It's all gold only at the end, is it not? But when you look at it, you won't look at it as gold, rather you will look at it as its form, based on the form, isn't it? Based on the form. But when you know that everything is gold, then you have seen it properly, rather than seeing the form, rather by the material what it is made of. For example, you had a lot of old jewelry at home and somebody is getting married. So what have you decided? You decided that the old jewelry is not anymore fashionable anymore. So you put them in a box, locked them up and left it somewhere in the attic or somewhere. And then you went and did a big shopping with the best jewelers and spend a lot of money, thousands of pounds, and brought a lot of modern fashionable jewelry from there, brought it home. It was a few days before the wedding. One day the thief knew that there's going to be a wedding, there's a lot of jewelry at home, so he got into the house and he stole everything, all the jewelry. Now, when he came and picked up the jewelry, he knew that there is something in the attic which you have kept separately or in your safe, wherever it is. He had no problem. Old jewelry, new jewelry, doesn't matter for him. He'll take the whole thing. He'll clean up the whole place. He'll take everything. Why? Because he, in the Shastram, you know, this is a word in the Upanishads. It says, kanagaiva maha buddhi. That means He is interested in the gold, he is not interested in the jewelry. He is interested in the gold, not interested in the jewelry. Similarly, when we are interested in the soul, we are like the thief. We are like the thief. When we are interested in the form, we are in the mundane state, mundane consciousness. That's why Upanishad says, Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi, that you have to have the eyes like the thief. What is it actually made of? All these things, it is soul, spirit. Spirit is the one behind it. So, Samabuddhi, so long as we have Vyavahara Buddhi. Vyavahara means that this is the new jewelry, that's old jewelry. This is fashionable, that's out of fashion. That's all Vyavahara Buddhi in there, isn't it? So, Vyavahara Buddhi, as long as we have Vyavahara Buddhi, Samabuddhi will not come. That's the problem. that's what Krishna is saying there. Saniyamyendre gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya, he says, isn't it? Samabuddhi has to happen there. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, when samabuddhi comes, vyavaharam is not important anymore. The importance of vyavaharam goes away at that time, and spiritual life becomes a lot easier at that time. But now, here is the most difficult thing. Most of us have got the same problem, almost all people. We want our spiritual life going and we want our vyavaharam also to go well. These two things is not possible. The earlier we come to terms with it, the better. That means most of the people, this is a big misunderstanding in people's mind. They are saying that we should have a good life in this world, and then after leaving we should go to the spiritual world. That won't happen. That's not possible. This misunderstanding leads us into many other activities which has nothing to do with spiritual life. You can see that all the time. If you look at people, you will see how they act in this world because of this misunderstanding. They have understood that in this world, everything should be fine for us according to the needs, according to the status of this world. I need some position in this world, some recognition in this world, enough money to live in this world, and some followers in this world, all kinds of things. They want that. And they also want, after leaving this world, they want to go to the spiritual world. But if you look at spiritual personalities, you will see that they have completely withdrew from this world, whether it's Jadabharata, whether it's Dattatreya Maharshi, or whether it is Vritrasura, no matter who it is, they did not give any importance to this world. World means Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam must come down. Vyavaharam must come down. So, if it is like that, then spiritual life becomes a lot easier. Spiritual life becomes a lot easier. People who do not know this, what they do, these principles clearly in their head, they will be keep on doing things in this world and trying to develop materially and put a cover of spiritual life to it. That's what happens. All the time you will notice this. The people, they will see, their inner desires have not gone for recognition in this world, position in this world, and money in this world, and happiness in this world. If you have all that as priority, Krishna is saying, close your Bhagavad Gita and leave it there. Finish up all that and then come. That is the message. Very clear message. But our Samis and Yogis, they are also started doing the same thing now. They also, if you have such desires inside that I want a position in this world, recognition in this world, followers in this world, plenty of money in this world, and I also have to go back home, back to Godhead at the same time, it will not happen. It is better to recognize this and break up straight away from that. Otherwise what will happen is you will be cheating the world. You will be doing a lot of things in the eyes of the public that you are a very spiritual person and you are able to mislead them as well. Not only you are misled, you will be misleading others as well along with it. It's a great mistake to do, and that's in the modern world. You can see this happening more and more and more all the time. And people getting completely, because most of the people are not aware of these fundamentals in spiritual life, they also get cheated in that way, and they spend a lot of time along with that, and then eventually they think, what have I gained in my life spiritually? nothing. At the end, zero. Nothing has happened. So this is happening every time, and it has to be taken very seriously, because Krishna is saying here that once you have this samabuddhi insight to develop, vyavaharam is the biggest problem. So unless in adhyatmam and vyavaharam, they won't work together. It is not possible. It's not possible. Why? Because Krishna has created this world, and Krishna has told us this world is temporary. This world is full of distress. Don't waste your time on that. Trying to repair this world, try to fix this world. Don't try to do it. It's not going to work. So many people have come and tried this and gone. Ultimately, they have gone. The world is still there, lying there as it is. Nothing has changed here. Earlier, we were fighting in one name. Now, we are fighting in another name. That's all. Fighting is still going on one way or the other. So that's not possible. So this if you say to people sometimes, it's very difficult, because for them the world is very real. If it is very real, then it's very difficult. They have to come out of it first, that the world is not so real as I think about it. That understanding has to come. So Krishna is saying here that if you want all these things, all my vyavaharam has to go very well, and and at the same time, my business, I should make a lot of money, my business should be on the top. And at the same time, I want self-realization. It's not going to happen. It's better to accept that first thing. It's not going to happen. Only when this world is not important for us or important for anyone, only at that time you can have Krishna. You can have self-realization, in other words. It's possible. So, somebody is saying to us, he wants both. He wants both self-realization as well as the material life. Material life as well. So, so that is not possible. But suppose if you want Krishna or self-realization, will the world will leave you at that time? No, world won't leave you. World won't leave you. Because what will happen is, in a genuine, spiritually advanced person, what will happen to him, as far as minimum necessities are concerned, like eating, sleeping, and these essential things are concerned, those things, without a great difficulty, things will somehow carry on in this world. Beyond than that, no other plans. No other plans in this world. So most of the people, many instances, there is intense desires operating within us, isn't it? And that desires build up. For example, I can give you sometimes that many devotees who took spiritual life before, years ago, I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago, and they took to spiritual life, after a few years, they had to do some vyavaharam in this world, even as devotees, to collect some money, to make money, or to engage in some activities to maintain their life in this world. But a point came in their life, they started seeing that money making, they were very successful. Some of them, not everybody, a few people. They became little successful. Do you know what happened? Most of them, at that point, they thought, I don't need the spiritual life anymore. After the money. Then after many years, making money and making this and that, they started realizing it was all a waste of time. And then they want to come back to spiritual life again. All what has happened now is that all that time, what was in between, they went for making money, they realized it that it was just a waste of time. But this will happen due to various reasons, whatever that is. The point here is, one thing we have to accept it and recognize that these two things won't go together. That means material life, if you want to live well and you want to make a very happy lifestyle here, then it is not possible to realize the self, because those two things won't blend well. So, so when one is matured, fully matured for self-realization, naturally this samabuddhi will come to him. That is the way you see that. When Krishna says sarvatra samabuddhaya, isn't it? That samabuddhi or equal vision in this world will happen, that he will not be particularly attached to anything in this world. No specific attachment to anything. No priority for anything. And attachment to everything will come down in him. So, and at that time, he receives what is known as Shanti. Shanti comes to that person. And his main achievement, or what he has acquired at that time, is that peace inside him. That is more important than anything else. Because when he starts seeing in this world that there is nothing in this world, remember we were discussing last Sunday also, that for a king like Muchukunda, it took a long time to realize that. For a personality like Parikshit also, it took quite a long time to realize that. We still haven't accepted it yet. So you can imagine how long it takes in people to develop that maturity inside, that nothing in this world is worthwhile pursuing. We have to come to our own conclusion, everything is a waste of time here. Only then spiritual life will go faster, fast track. Otherwise it won't. Otherwise it will be the slow dragging every morning, getting up, struggling to get up, struggling to chant, struggling to bathe, struggling to do deity worship, struggling to read Bhagavatam. Everything will be a struggle. Why? Because this thing hasn't happened yet. This conviction inside, that like Muchukunda said to Krishna, what did he say? Muchukunda said that, I thought that better if I sleep. Because if I sleep, at least I won't do any nonsense. Otherwise, if you are woken up, all you do is nonsense. And Muchukunda is acknowledging that, isn't he? He says, I will not do a nonsense at least if I sleep. So that was his answer to that. So Krishna is sarvatra samabuddhaya. So, te prapnu, sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnu vandimam eva. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnu vandimam eva. He will come to me. He will come to me. We should get out of this misconception that we can drive these two worlds together, material world and the spiritual world. It will not go together. In order to go into spiritual world, material world, we will have to somewhat leave it behind. So, Krishna says, Te prajnumandimam eva sarva bhuta hite radaha. And how are they, those people, what are they like? They have no false ego inside. And there is no personality inside. And they are already liberated. And they are equal to every living entity in this world. Sarva bhuta hite radha. They have no enemies in this world. They will do good to everybody. That is their qualifications. Sanyamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnu vandi maam eva sarva bhuta hite radha. So hite radha, hitam means good for everyone. Hitam, what is good for others. And they are living in this body, Krishna says, still they will be in this body, in this world, but sarva bhuta hite radha te prapnu vandi maam eva. And Krishna says here, they will definitely come back to me. People who have come to that state, they will come back to me. You know, spiritual life is not an easy journey. We have to recognize that first thing. It is better to understand that spiritual life is going to be full of trouble. Material side is concerned. It will always be a problem. I can give you so many examples in the Bhagavatam. If you take the devotees and look at them. The next chapter, what we'll be discussing, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the history of that great businessman, Bhikshu Gita. Yeah. Read that chapter, you will see there what all plans he was making in his life to make money, and it has become an obsession in him, this making money business. It's become such an obsession that he made so much money. And after making all this money, when everything gone one day, the Inland Revenue got upset with him. His Inland Revenue, whichever it was, got upset with him. sued him, took him to the court and extracted a lot of money out of him. He lost. Maybe he was not paying the taxes, who knows. He lost that. The house caught fire. Probably his insurance didn't cover that. Whatever he had, if he had one. That also lost everything. House got burned. All the wealth was taken away by the Indian Revenue. King was not happy about him. And the thieves also plundered his wealth. Thieves also plundered his wealth. From all angles, everything collapsed. Everything gone out of control. And he comes out from the house and he has got one burned blanket in his hand, which is burned inside. And all the people in the village comes and looks at him and says to him, you deserve this. What do you think? When all these things are happening, somebody comes and tells you, you deserve it. Because when he had been making money, all he thought about, what about himself? Let me make as much as I can. You see sometimes in business people that drive in them, make more, endlessly, desiring things like that. So he was going on like that. Uddhava asked a very interesting question at that time to Krishna. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. It's better to mention about that now when you are in that state. If you look into that verse, you will see there in the 19th is what we are discussing now. Yeah. So, if you look into that 22nd, I will not go in detail. Krishna mentions there that how difficult it is, he says. Krishna is saying this, how difficult it is. He says, you in that 22nd chapter, 21st chapter, after that in the 22nd chapter, Prakriti and Purusha, material nature and Purusha, the Ishvara controller, that was discussed there. And at the end, Krishna says to him, to Uddhava, Uddhava, these senses will give you a lot of trouble. And never enjoy anything through these senses with attachment. And always remember that Bhedabuddhi. Bhedabuddhi means Tasmat Uddhavamam Bhunksha Vishayan Asadindriyehi Atma Grahana Narbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. That Brahmam or this illusion what you are feeling in this world is a Kalpana. Kalpana means Vaigalpigam. Vaigalpigam mana. Manasa, mind created that feeling about something about this world. When the mind develops any, mind prepares some impression about this world in us, isn't it? Mind tells us this place is nice, this world is nice, the life in this world is very good, and relationships are nice, to have some money in this world is very good, to have some good health in this body is good, and all our social activities is quite pleasant, and going on holidays is nice. Various things in our mind. This is called Kalpana of the mind. Mind is creating this impression in us. Whereas Krishna is saying to us, Anityam Asugham Logam. World is a place of misery and it is very temporary. We go with the mind, we won't go with Krishna's words. Is it not? That's how it is. What can you do? That is how powerful the mind is. So Krishna is saying here, Uddhava, think about this. Whatever the mind is dictating to you and giving you an impression, don't go with that. It will only cause you problems. So it was at that time, Uddhava says, what can I do? He says, it is very difficult in this world because while living in this world, sometimes people will reject you. They will curse you. They will insult you. They will talk to you in a very harsh way. And they will also speak to you sometimes nicely. Sometimes they will admire you, appreciate you. All these things are going on in this world. But when somebody insults you and somebody starts talking harsh to you and questioning you in everything and look down upon you, it's very, very difficult, Uddhava says to Krishna. Uddhava says, Kshiptaha avamanido asadbi pralabdho asuito athava tadida sannibaddhova vrityava parihapidam nishtado mutrido vajner bahudevam prakambidaha ശ്രേയസ്കാമ കൃച്ഛഗദാഹ ആത്മാൻ ആത്മാനമുദ്ധരേത്. കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ, ഉദ്ധവ, ഈവൻ ഇഫ് പീപ്പിൾ ഡു നോട്ട് ഗിവ് യു എനി വാല്യൂ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, അവമാനിതാഹ, ദ ഇൻസൾട്ട് യു, ദ ഡോണ്ട് റെസ്പെക്ട് യു, ദ കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ട്രീറ്റ് യു ലൈക്ക് എ ഡേർട്ട് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻസൾട്ട്സ് യു ആൻഡ് what do they call? Avamanidaha asadbi pralabdo asuidhodhava. That they talk to you in such a way in ridiculing you, if they do like that, and they feel envy of you, and they start beating you, and they spit at you, and even if they block your livelihood, they cause problems for your living in this world, even then Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, your mind should not get disturbed. That's how it is. That's spiritual life. That is spiritual life. This is what I'm saying, that but because when all these things happen, Uddhava is asking Krishna, how can I fix myself in spiritual life when all these things are happening in this world? That is Uddhava's question. So, so Krishna is saying that is when your spiritual life should get its strength from, when those things happen. Not otherwise. So even you may hear all these things, but in reality, in life, when such things happen, most of the people will get disturbed. Would they not? They'll get disturbed up to a certain limit, because the false ego in all of us are very strong. Is it not? So up to a certain limit, we'll tolerate each other. But if it goes out of step, then the whole thing will break down. That's the point. So Uddhava is asking that question to Krishna, that what should I do when it comes to that? Krishna says to Uddhava, vacham, you will see, yadhaivam anubudhyeyam vadano vadadam vara sudusaham imam manya atman asadadikramam. He says, Krishna, tell me, he says, yadhaivam anubudhyeyam vadano vadadam vara, how is this going to get resolved? Because so dusahamimam manyam almani asadadikramam. It is very difficult, he says, when someone does that to you. Vidushama bivishwalman prakrtirhi baliyasi hridayetva dharma niradan shandamste charanalayan. He says here, prakrtirhi baliyasi. Prakriti, material nature, is very, very powerful, he says. And what will do? Vidushamavi Vishwalpman, even very intelligent people, when Prakriti Swabhavam behaves like that happens, they also gets affected by that. We get upset, even a small thing is enough for us to get upset in this world. Oh, he said that about me, or she said that about me. Something like that is sufficient. Then our attitude changes immediately, isn't it? So constantly this is going on in this world. Uddhava is asking, what do I do for that? And Krishna is saying to him, Uddhava also says to him, that those who are fixed up in spiritual life and those only who are surrendered to you can come out of that. And Krishna say, Uddhava says that when bad elements, when they deal with you in this world, Swabhavam is very powerful. Because Swabhavam is very powerful, Krishna is saying, it's more powerful than an arrow being shot at you, a word spoken by somebody against you, in some way, a critical word that is spoken. So if you read in that chapter, you will see, prior to this conclusion, Krishna is saying to him so many things that how to understand that this world is not real. Artehi avidyamanebi samsardir na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasa supnam anarthagamo yeda. This particular verse comes 5 times in the Bhagavatam at 5 different places. If you can look at it sometime, you will see this. Arte havidyamanebi samsadirna nivartate. He says, one who has meditated upon sense objects for various times, and when a jiva gets absorbed in that, suppose I have meditated upon some sense enjoyment for a long period of time, and I got absorbed in that, in the dream I may get that sense gratification. But when I come out of that dream, I will be absorbed in that sense gratification till I come out of it. Isn't it? Till I come out of it, I will not escape from that sense gratification. Say for example, some sense gratification, doesn't matter what it is, If I have developed in my mind, it comes in the dream. Say, for example, Krishna is saying, Artehi avidyamanevi. That from avidya in my me, it has come. And that dream, that sense gratification, I will enjoy in that dream till I am woken up from that. Is it not? Once you are woken up from that dream, that sense and gratification is over. And you come to your conscious state. Then you realize that, oh, what I was enjoying in my dream was nothing but a dream, not a real sense gratification. Krishna is saying here, Dhyayado Vishayanasya Swapne Anarthagamo Yatha. Krishna's point is, right now, in this vacant state also, you are in a similar situation. That you have some false idea about this world and false concept of enjoyment in this world. And that's how you are living here. When you are woken up to self-realization, this will also go in the same way what you had came out of the dream. When we came out of the dream, how you lost the reality of that enjoyment in the dream. Similarly, when we are woken up from here to self-realization, this reality of so-called reality of this world will also leave us. It is only up to that extent this world is real. That's why they say the world is temporary. As long as you exist here, the world is real. Otherwise, what is this world? It has no reality than that. So that's what Krishna mentions there. Artehi avidyamanebi samsarir na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yata. Anarthagamo yata. 55. Yeah. So, tasmad, therefore, uddhavama bhungshva. Uddhava, therefore, vishayan asadindriyehi. Vishayam, sense gratification is vishayan asadindriyehi. So, never trust any sense objects to enjoy. Any sense objects to enjoy. Alma grahana nurbhadam. Pashyam vaigalpikam brahmam. Krishna is saying there that because this misunderstanding brahmam, what has happened here, is vaigalpiyam. It is by mind is still telling you that you are enjoying something. And this feeling of enjoyment what you are having is not coming from the mind, it's coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. Atma grahana narbhadam pashyam vaigalpiyam brahmam. So in those verses Krishna says to Uddhava, that is how you should be careful about this world, about sense gratification. And also mentioned, at least at that time Uddhava asked this question, how should I deal with this world? So many things I can tolerate about it. But most difficult thing is when someone gives you very hard time in life. Gives you all from, say, you have to work with people, they give you trouble. You have to work in the office or temple or wherever, there is always trouble everywhere in some form or the other. They will want to drag you in their way. And sometimes you may not agree with it and you don't know how to, because you are bound by the institution or bound by the office or whatever, that is, there will always be a reason for you to stay. You have to stay there and you don't have that advanced understanding or realization, life and tolerance to tolerate everything, then it gets very difficult. So here the question Uddhava is saying to him, that how do I deal with that situation? And in answer to that, Krishna spoke about the story of that Brahmana. How he came to, and the Brahmana who was, everything was taken out from him. And he paid for heavy price. So, what we mentioned here is that sarvabhuta hide rathaha. Krishna is saying, if you have come to that state, like the case of that Brahmana in the Bhikshu Gita, then he is more or less, you can take it, he says, he's come back to me. You are in that state, I am happy to take him to the spiritual world. That's the state expected from us before we talk about going back home, back to Godhead. That Brahmana's experience and realization. That's a very, very interesting. Obviously, this incident happened, it seems, that when Krishna and Balaram were in Avanti, at that time in Sandipani Muni's ashram, when they were going through their education time, one evening they went together for a walk. And that's when this incident happened, that they saw this Brahmana there and the people who were giving trouble to him. They took away his, nobody after the house got burned and everything burgled and the government took away all his money, he was pauper. he declared bankruptcy, everything, and he came out from there. And then he goes and asking for food. Nobody gave anything to him because he never gave anything to anybody when he had it. So everyone was feeling kind of a revengeful mood towards him. Then he goes to the next village and begs from there. And somebody gave him some food. He took the food and then he walks along a riverbank and he keeps the food on the riverbank, goes to wash his hands and legs. He was starving. He had no food for days together. It was then that a bunch of people came there and they gave him hell. They took away one took away his blanket, one took away his danda, and one took away his water pot, and all of them, different people took it away. And some of the cowherd boys, they came and put some sand into his food, what he had collected after a long effort. And Krishna is saying there, Uddhava, I observed and I understood something very interesting. He says, when the Brahmana came back and asked them to give him back the water pot, the blanket, the rod, everything, they will start teasing him. They'll say to him, if he asks for the blanket, he will say, you get your water pot, then I'll give you the blanket. When he asks for the water pot, they'll say, you get the blanket, then I'll give you the water pot. The people who are doing this to him. Lot of people came in this world against him altogether in that point. So Krishna says, and the food what he has collected, that also was not eatable anymore. They have completely spoiled that food. And some other boys, they wanted to pass urine on him and insult him in that way as well. Krishna says, Uddhava, he never said one word. He kept his mind under control. How did he do that? He sang a song, he says. That is a famous Bhikshu Gita in the Bhagavatam. And that Bhikshu Gita says that Nayam janome sugadukha hetu. Sugham, dukham, happiness, distress and all that. Nobody is responsible for that in this world. Nayam janome sugadukha hetu. Then, no planets are responsible, no karma is not responsible. Everything is happening because of the mind inside. This mind inside, how it takes everything, that's where it's all coming from. Na deva dalma, no demigods are responsible, no planets are responsible, no time is responsible, no karma is responsible. Na yam janome sugadukha hedu, na deva dalma graha karma kala. None of them are responsible, he says. Manaparam karanam amanandi. That mind inside is the cause of all this problem. Because of that, samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. I am keep on rotating in this continuously, life after life, from one body to another. When he sang this Bhikshu Gita, which Krishna heard, Krishna kept that in his mind, obviously. And he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, when I saw that Brahmana singing this, I understood that that Brahmana has realized the truth. That's how Krishna sees things. Krishna says that Brahmana has realized the truth. Krishna didn't think about what he has done in his past. This realization is more important. Whether he was a billionaire before that and what he did before, that's all finished at that point. When realization happens, all your other, that is, you remember in the Bhagavad Gita there is a verse, Sarvam karmakhilam partha jnanam parisamapyade. When self-realization happens, Sarvam karmakhilam partha jnanam parisamapyade. Everything finishes in knowledge, in self-realization. And jnanagni sarva karmanam vasmasad kurade Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, when the fire of knowledge burns inside, jnana agni, sarva karmanam vasmasad, whatever karma you have done before, it all turns into ashes. It's no more anymore, has any impact on you anymore. And that's what's happened to that Brahmana. Krishna says that I kept about that in my mind, that how even in the very severe adversities in life, how that Brahmana tolerated everything. Says like that to Uddhava there in the Bhagavatam. And that is what Krishna is saying. Once that samabuddhi comes inside, then the mind will not see things in a way, he's my friend, he's my enemy, I have to deal with this person, that person. This, all that is gone from inside. Mind is completely finished with him. So, talking about all that, sarabhuta hite radaha, Krishna is saying there, Krishna says, they will all come back to me. It is such people who will come back to Krishna. Who will go back to Krishna. He says here. So, but why shouldn't be like that in that way? The answer for that is the next verse. If you look at Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Klesho adhigataras tesham avyakta sakta cetasam avyakta ahigadir dukham dehavad bhiravapyate klesho adhigataras tesham avyakta sakta cetasam avyakta ahigadir dukham dehavad bhiravapyate. So here you will see something interesting. If you look the read the translation, it does mean the translation is the right translation. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. For those who are embodied. You will see in the purport also, Prabhupada mentions the group of transcendentalists who follow the path of the inconceivable, unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called Jnana Yogis. And persons who are in full Krishna consciousness engaged in devotional service are called Bhakti Yogis. Now here the difference between Jnana Yogam and Bhakti Yogam is definitely expressed. Process of Jnana Yogam, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome, whereas the path of Bhakti Yogam, the process of being in direct service to Supreme Lord, is easier and is natural for the embodied soul. You can read all that at your own time, the purport of that, the verse. So, they are also in that same paragraph, Prabhupada mentions there is evidence in the Vedic literature that worship may be sagunam or anirgunam, or of the Supreme possessing or not possessing attributes. Worship in the temple is saguna worship, and Lord is represented by material qualities. But the form of the Lord, though represented by material qualities such as stone, wood or oil, paint, is not actually material. That's the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord, mentioned like that. And then if you go in that, not the next paragraph, the paragraph after that, the third paragraph, we don't have so much time to read through all that. But the third paragraph, you will see Prabhupada mentions again the second sentence. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literature as the Upanishads. And they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and they have to realize all these processes. So, you can see how impersonalism and personalism, they're all in the Vedam. They're all in the Vedam. So, difficult to say that, for Krishna also it's difficult to say, one is right and one is wrong. All he can say is, what Krishna is saying here also, that all Krishna is saying here is that to directly go into Atmavijaram or engage in the analysis of the soul is difficult for people who are absorbed in this world in Vyavaharam. That is the message. Those who are absorbed, deeply absorbed in Vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam means, you know, transactions, business, work, all kinds of things. What we are doing in this world is all called, in one word, is Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam, especially for householder, it's more than others. Householder has got the maximum Vyavaharam, isn't it? His Vyavaharam is unlimited. You can make it 24 hours, Vyavaharam goes on at home. There's only Vyavaharam goes on whole day. So, 24 hours Vyavaharam is householder's life. So, for such people, directly to go into self-realization, studying the soul, and analysis of hearing, mental reflection, nididhyasanam, shravana, contemplation, all that is very, very difficult. So, and he says here, the reason for that is, Krishna also mentions there, avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadbir avapyate. Because they have dehabhimanam, bodily concept of life. Bodily concept of life, it will be a big struggle for them. It's a big struggle for them. Krishna is saying, those who are absorbed in the bodily concept of life, living in this world. What does bodily concept of life means? Everything. One's position in this world, money in this world, followers in this world, fame in this world, nice clothes, nice house to live, nice food to eat, everything nice, nice. That's all, that is Dehabhimanam. Not satisfied with any minimum things in world. So those who have got Dehabhimanam, bodily identification, and those who are thinking that those who are absorbed in Vyavaharam in this world, for them, directly to go into discussion about the soul and contemplation on the soul is a difficult process. That is what Krishna is saying there. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktam asakta chedasam avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadbir avapyate. That is all Krishna says there about that. Now, that does not mean that one process is better than the other. Both processes will bring you to the same result. But it suits different people. It suits different people. For those who are absorbed in the life in this world, caught up in this world, completely messed up with this life, in other words, with all our attachments and aversions. Like as I said before, we are people who want a good life, material life, and a good spiritual life. Both. That's not possible. Krishna has already said that. It's not possible. It won't work together. So those who are absorbed in the body and identifying with the body very strongly and keeping their material life happy all the time, keeping the material life going well, for such people, Krishna says, there is no question of avyaktam, getting attached to the impersonal absolute. It's not possible for them. That's what Krishna is saying. Possible means it's difficult. He says means it's practically impossible. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam avyakta hi gadir dukham dehavadmi ravapyade. Because their bodily identity is very, very strong. Identification with the body is very strong. So, avyakta asakta chedasam, Krishna is saying here. Because to turn the senses and the mind inwards and to attention of the soul, that is difficult when we have bodily identification. Therefore, what is the next option? Next option is to think everything as a person, including the truth, absolute truth also as a person only. You have to think at that time. That's the next option left. And start thinking, hearing, seeing like that, and seeing the world also as Krishna. World also, everything in relationship with the person. Start seeing everything as Krishna, presence of Krishna. Krishna's body, Krishna's form, others also Krishna's presence in them. And start seeing everywhere Krishna's presence. And that is, in other words, it's called universal form of Krishna. So when you start seeing Krishna in every living entity, Krishna in the temple, in the deity, and as soon as you start seeing like that, that is the alternative for that. That means it is because we cannot relate with the truth in another way. Remember this, that many, many great souls, sages, they are all developed in the impersonal path. Take for example, Durvasav, Vishwamitra, Bharadwaja, Atri, Pulasya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha, and so Narada Maharshi, and even Narada Maharshi also included in that, because they all have that realization already in them. Bhakti process Narada Maharshi initiated and he became the Acharya of that. But that does not mean he has rejected everything else. No, it's all part of the same Upanishad's knowledge that's coming through the other literature as well. So that we have to keep this in mind. They are not separate. Separation has happened because it was impossible for everyone to take to that process. Why? Because there is Sharira Abhimanam. Bodily concept of life is strong in us. And because it is there, as long as we have the bodily concept of life, we have to do only one thing we can do when we have this bodily identity, to see everything in a personal way. Everything in a with form. Krishna also with the form, everybody else as a form, And if you keep on doing like that, this is called Upasana of the universal form. Visharupa Upasana, it's called. Visharupa Upasana will happen and it will be much easier then. It will be much easier then. So, because they have got the body, we have got body, that's the problem. When we have a body, we also have to think about Krishna also in the same way. As he has a body like, we have a body. And we also see all these, what is in present in this creation, as also an expansion of that Krishna's body, Pravancham in other words, and worship him in that way. And this will be much easier for others to do. Dehavadbhi, Dehabhimanam, Dehabhimanavadbhi means, Dehabhimanam means this identification with the body, one which we all have, one who has got, for him, the meditation of the soul, analysis of the soul and contemplation of the soul will be very, very difficult. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, his situation is that he is interested in the avyaktasakta chedasam. Suppose he is attached to that impersonal form, nature, impersonal aspect of the absolute truth. He recognizes the presence of the soul. Through his realization, he understands the soul is present and he is attracted to the soul, attracted to the soul. But at the same time, his situation is, he is unable to give up vyavaharam. He is unable to give up his vyavaharam. So, the only thing is, Upanishad says to us, vyavaharam, you have to make it as a yajnam and get rid of it from life. Get rid of it from life. So, therefore, in order to do that, you have to perform what is known as Visharupa Upasana. That means, Visharupam, what Krishna showed to Arjuna, that Visharupam shown to Arjuna to take his attention inwards. But for us, what is Krishna's Visharupam? This creation itself is Krishna's Visharupam. So, at the moment, those who are in the bodily concept of life, what is their symptom? The symptom is like this. They are always thinking, I have a lot to do in this world. I have a lot to achieve in this world. And at the same time, all these are going on in his mind to attain something, to achieve something. But still, there is a little bit his eye has opened and his attention has gone a very small amount towards the absolute truth. Little bit attention has gone to the absolute truth. It is in this situation, Krishna is going to talk about that in this Bhakti Yogam, what is known as Bhagavata Dharma. That is how Bhagavata Dharma is brought into Bhagavad Gita. This Bhakti Yogam chapter is only to talk about Bhagavata Dharma, which is discussed in the Nimi Navayogi Samvadam in the Ekadasha Skandam and also in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in Ekadasha Skandam, which is again comes up in different places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that Bhagavata Dharma is the alternative for those who finds that difficult to absorb in the soul because of the bodily identification. It is not that one is higher than the other is lower than this one. That's a misunderstanding. It is not. The truth is one, process may differ and adjustments may be necessary according to the qualification of the person who is practicing spiritual life. As far as truth is concerned, whether you go through Jnana Margam, go through Bhakti Margam, you will reach the same destination at the end. There will be no difference. You will realize the truth, in other words. That's the goal at the end. You will realize the truth. What is that? You are not this body. That you will realize. You will realize what you are, actually. That's what will happen. But in our ignorance, what we will do? We will say, well, I am following a higher process. What you are following is a very lower process. Be full. Pull others down and we put ourselves up. That's what we do. Quite often this happens, isn't it? That's not right. What Krishna, if you understand this chapter well, you will see Krishna is saying that this is the process, but it is difficult for those who have got a material body and they who are doing a lot of vyavaharam busy in this world for them to come back to the attention of the soul. That's why we talked so much about the soul for so many years and years now. Isn't it? And still we are asking the question, how do I do that? Why? Because of this, our situation is like that. That's why Bhagavata Dharma will suit all of us. This Jnana Margam will be difficult. will be very difficult for us. It's a very clear thing. Then klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam. Some people tells me that, oh, they are very interested in jnanamargam. That's nice, you are interested, but it may not be possible for you to do it. That's the problem. Because of this bodily identification so strongly. Only when we are able to free ourselves, like that, jnanis have got that capacity to do that. So they have come out of that. That's a samskaram different than the samskaram what we have got. Maybe in previous lifetimes, they have done enough that they come out of their bodily identity. There are people like that in this world today, living like that. There is many people who are in that state. We may not know that, but they are there. And when they speak and their way of life, if you observe, you will see that for them, Bhakti Margam won't work. Only Jnana Margam will work for them. There are people like that. Because that is their Purva Sukhritam. From previous life, they brought that with him. As soon as like dry hay, you just put fire into it, it will burn. They are ready for that. So can you say that they are anyway behind others? Because he is not following like our process. No, you can't say that. They have already reached that stage because in previous lifetimes, they must have done something that straight away, even in this world, materialistic world, when they come here, their attention is on the soul. They are so captivated by the soul and everything what is spoken in the Shastram goes into them very easily and they are able to abide by that without any problems. There are people that way. So, process is not the thing, it's the person, situation is what makes it. We are those who are absorbed in the body, those who are absorbed in Vyavaharam to a considerable extent. Krishna is saying that kind of spiritual life may not suit him. It may not work for him because it is very difficult to do that. That's what that verse is saying. Klesho atikatarastesham avyaktam asakta chetasam. He will not get, he has some attraction for it, but he will not be able to do it because avyaktahi gadur dukham dehavadbhiravapyate. His situation is that he is so much absorbed in the body. That is the problem. That's the problem. We think that just by saying dehinosmin yatha dehe, I am freed from the body. You can't get escape from this body so easily. This body, it will hold you so tight. As Krishna says, it frightens you whole life and then it leaves you at the end. Isn't it? That's what the body does to us. Keep on frightening us every day in one way or the other. All our work in this world is to protect this body, to keep this body going. And every moment, if one thing we are conscious about, is it conscious about this body? Is it not? So, because it is like that, bodily concept, that bodily identity is very, very deep-rooted and very strong inside. It is not easy to pull out. Sometimes we will think, when we preach to others, we say to them that, Prabhu, you should not be on the bodily concept of life, we say. The person who is saying is in the bodily concept of life. You cannot escape. It's not so simple. We shouldn't cheapen it. It's not so easy also to come out of the bodily concept. Everybody, practically, you will find rare people who have come out of the body like that. And due to the power of the knowledge inside, they have escaped from that, the body. And that's what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, dehastobina dehastha. That state, some people do come to that, but that's very, very rare. Only for few people it's meant, not for everybody. So, here, Krishna is saying here, it is in this situation that Bhagavata Dharmam takes its purpose, it does its job. What he says there, you don't have to leave anything. You don't have to leave anything. Do everything what you have to do. But slowly, very slowly, through the middle of that, introduce your sadhana, chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. Bring that in somehow. Carry on doing whatever you have to do with this body, if you are in the family life, whatever it is. Whatever you have to do at home, you have to do it. But bring this chanting process, chanting the holy name into it. And while chanting, keep that goal. Krishna is a goal. And never to forget that goal also. And instead of depending on your strength to do everything, completely depending on Krishna, execute the sadhana. That's the way sadhana should be executed. It's a big shift. Eh? You have to remember that. Most of us do the sadhana on our strength. We have to shift that strength from us to Krishna. It is due to Krishna the sadhana is happening. That way we have to change our way of thinking and come to that understanding. And that is why what is called as depending on Krishna's mercy and executing the sadhana. In the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna says that, Jaramarana mokshaya mama shritaya tandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma chaghilam. You will see there. Those who want to escape from this world, world of old age and death, mama ashritaya tandiye, they will execute their sadhana depending on me, Krishna says. Is it not? So only if you execute sadhana in that way, depending on Krishna, if you execute the sadhana, that sadhana, mam e brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chagiram, that will become spiritual and it will release us from the cycle of birth and death. So we'll stop then. It's 5:10. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and we'll see tomorrow again. Hare Krishna.